entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Some Republicans across the country are rhetorically trying to distance themselves from Arizona's Supreme Court ruling that upholds a near total abortion ban.
Anxiety in Arizona after the state Supreme Court upheld an 1864 law that bans nearly all abortions and criminalizes those who perform the procedure. With swing state Arizona up for grabs in November, some Republicans are slamming the ruling too, including former President Donald Trump, who just said abortion should be left to the states. He said Arizona went too far.
Mr. President, did Arizona go too far? Did Arizona go too far?
Yeah, they did, and that'll be straightened out. And as you know, it's all about states' rights. That'll be straightened out. And I'm sure that the governor and everybody else are going to bring it back into reason, and that will be taken care of, I think, very quickly.
What do you think about Florida?
Florida's probably maybe going to change also. See, it's all about the will of the people. This is what I've been saying. It's a perfect system. So for 52 years, people have wanted to end Roe v. Wade to get it back to the states. We did that. It was an incredible thing, an incredible achievement. We did that, and now the states have it, and the states are putting out what they want. It's the will of the people.
President Biden, who has vowed to restore Roe v. Wade, was asked what his message is to Arizonans.
Elect me. I'm in the 20th century.
What's that?
21st century.
Right now, House Republicans are inching towards another potential speaker battle. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene posted on social media that she's still looking to oust House Speaker Mike Johnson. Greene is rebuking Johnson for working with Democrats on passing a bill to avoid a partial government shutdown last month.
Republicans met for their weekly conference meeting, and some of them did say that they didn't necessarily feel that there was an appetite to move forward, that it was a mistake to oust Speaker McCarthy last fall. Of course, those were more McCarthy allies speaking, but even those who supported the motion to vacate last fall against McCarthy, lawmakers, for instance, like Congresswoman Nancy Mace, also telling reporters this week that they don't think that this is the right time to try to move to oust Speaker Johnson. That being said, Marjorie Taylor Greene says that she still has this motion at her disposal. She wouldn't outline if there's any kind of red line per se that would trigger her to bring this motion up. We do know that she is meeting with Speaker Johnson, and the speaker also addressed the status of their relationship. Take a listen.
She's a colleague. I've always considered her a friend. Marjorie and I don't disagree, I don't think, on any matter of philosophy. We're both conservatives, you know, but we do disagree sometimes on strategy.
Hamas claims three sons of one of their top leaders have been killed in an Israeli airstrike.
Ismail Haniyeh is really one of the two main leaders of Hamas. You've got Haniyeh, who is based outside of Gaza. Heads up, he's the supreme leader of Hamas. Sort of internationally, he's actually in exile in Doha. And then you have Yahya Sinwar, who is the leader of Hamas within Gaza itself. Haniyeh, very, very senior figure, been front and center for a lot of the negotiations towards a potential new ceasefire deal, but he has confirmed that the IDF have killed three of his sons and some of his grandchildren as well in an airstrike in Gaza City, in the refugee camp where they lived, where Haniyeh himself used to live before he went into exile. Now, the assumption is that this is designed to put pressure on Hamas to agree to a new hostage deal. The word on the street, and what I've been hearing over the last 36 hours or so, is that Hamas are inclined to reject a new ceasefire deal because, quite honestly, they think they are in the driving seat at the moment. They don't see what there is to be gained by agreeing to a ceasefire deal right now, because particularly, take a couple of aspects. One, the Israelis have withdrawn all of their troops from southern Gaza, leaving only a small force inside Gaza. So the military pressure has come off Hamas. But also, as a result of increased international pressure, particularly following the World Central Kitchen deaths, there's been a lot more humanitarian aid going into Gaza as well. So at the moment, what we're hearing is Hamas are not going to agree to a ceasefire deal. So the killing of Haniyeh's children is being seen as a way of Israel trying to reassert that military pressure.
So I think what he's doing is a mistake. I don't agree with his approach. I think it's outrageous that those three vehicles were hit by drones and taken out on a highway where it wasn't like it was along the shore. It wasn't like there was a convoy moving there, etc. So what I'm calling for is for the Israelis to just call for a ceasefire, allow for the next 6-8 weeks total access to all food and medicine going into the country. I've spoken with everyone from the Saudis to the Jordanians to the Egyptians. They're prepared to move in. They're prepared to move this food in. And I think there's no excuse to not provide for the medical and the food needs of those people. They should be done now.
The man we affectionately refer to around here as number three, New York Times bestselling author, co-host of Fox and Friends on Fox News, and a nationally syndicated, widely recognized radio talk show host, Brian Kilmeade. Congratulations, in all seriousness.
Oh, thanks a lot. And, you know, it wasn't a while. We were 98. I was 98 on that list, so it took a while, 14 years, but we're moving up, and so are you.
I think I was also 98. 3 years ago. So there you go. There's something good about number 98. A couple of things
What do they call it? The heavy 100.
Right, the heavy 100, indeed.
Question number 12 to the Trump Manhattan jury, which is, do you listen to talk radio? If so, what station, what shows? So I spoke to a couple of attorneys last night, and they said that is directed at you. Of course, I still can't believe that's true, but it may be true. But let me read this before I get to the great defense attorney, the best in the world, Joseph Tacopina. And this comes from the very prestigious judge who joins me every Friday, who Tacopina loves, Andrew Napolitano. And he wrote this. He said, just heard you talk about the Trump trial jury questionnaire. Let me tell you what the judicial mind thinks about when crafting these questions. The court is not looking for all influences on potential jurors. That would be impossible to ascertain. The court is looking for effective influences on potential jurors. In New York City, on all matters Trump, that's you and you alone. I know you're not a fan of Justice Mershon, but he obviously recognizes your effectiveness. See you Friday. But I'm going to ask Joseph Tacopina. And if Joseph Tacopina thinks this is about me, then we'll leave it right there. Joseph Tacopina, good morning, buddy. How are you?
It's about you. They're not really talking about this trial on WFAN. And I don't even think they know there is a trial on WFAN. So what morning show? I mean, you know, what is it, 10:10? They do the helicopter and traffic and weather, right? So what other morning talk show in New York City would they be talking about on the radio? So basically, congratulations. You made it into the most historical trial in the United States history. The trial, the first criminal trial of a former president of the United States, and you are prominently featured as someone who the prosecutors want to avoid listenership at all costs.
Question number 12 to the Trump Manhattan jury is, quote, do you listen to talk radio? If so, what station shows? And at least according to Napolitano, Tacopina, Idala, and Dershowitz, that is a question directed at me.
Okay, first of all, they could ask that question verbally. They could say, and when I was picking jurors, I would say, what's your favorite book? What periodicals do you read? What newspapers do you read? It's basically the same thing, but it's in writing. So the question is it targeted toward you? Yeah, if it's coming from the prosecution, absolutely. But here's the thing. That is not a basis for cause to be removed if they listen to you. So it would just be the entree for more questions. All right, Sid is number one in New York City. If you listen to talk radio, chances are you listen to Sid, okay, on WABC. But then the question is, you know, they have to go further and say, is what he believes, is it everything you believe? Look, it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's free press. It's not a basis for cause to remove someone from a jury. It's just the opportunity to ask more questions.
Wow.
And so then they could use a peremptory challenge, which is a challenge based upon the fact that I don't like the way you look. I want you off the jury. Okay. But not a challenge for cause. And you only have so many peremptories. So, but challenge for cause, it's not a basis, challenge for cause. Now, I don't know how my fellow lawyers handled it or what they said, but I just think it is a, I think it's a decent question.
Today. Again, great job by Justin Ellis. Good morning, everybody. 6:15 on your Thursday morning in New York City, the most listened to news talk show in New York. And at this point, I think fair to say the most popular non-syndicated local show in America. That's us, Sid and Friends in the Morning. We've got a great guest list today. I mean, a great one. And we spent the last couple of minutes of that open, again, put together by Justin, going back with some of the conversations we had yesterday about how we now, sitting friends in the morning, have inserted ourselves, or maybe not. Maybe it's not us. Maybe it's the DA, Alvin Bragg. Maybe it's the judge, Justice Mershon. I don't know. But somehow, sitting friends in the morning is now part of the jury questionnaire for Trump's trial, which for the third consecutive day yesterday, he was not able to delay. So it looks like it's going to get going on Monday morning. Isn't that right, Noam?
Yeah, looks that way right now. This, I don't know if that's the last try to delay it, but the judge came back pretty quickly when Trump lawyers were in court about an hour later, and she said, no, the trial continues to go on.
Continues to go on. So 42 questions with this jury questionnaire, and question number 12 asks specifically about radio. And according to, you heard all those people there, Judge Jeanine, Joseph Tacopina, also Arthur Idala, Alan Dershowitz, that usually they use the word media, not limited to radio. And they are aware, of course, what we do here on this morning show, and that Donald Trump listens to this radio show. And we've got a bias towards Trump, and we hate these people, hate them with a vengeance. So all these big-time attorneys and judges, including Napolitano, who wrote that great little piece, will be on tomorrow, all agree that that question was written with me in mind. I know that sounds crazy. Now, if it was just me saying that, then you can all go back on the internet like you like to do and say, oh, Sid's a narcissist, blah, 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 blah. But again, it's Napolitano, Piero, Tacopina, Dershowitz, and Idala. Has nothing to do with Sid. Not about my narcissism. When those five people go, 1,000% that's about you. You heard Tacopina. They're not talking about this trial on WFAN.
or 10-10 wins running one of these stations.
First time long. I love the show. You know, the Yankee lineup, let's forget about that a second. You know, this trial that's going to go on. What is going on? How are they picking the jurors? I love the show.
I go on the internet. Well done, Lewis. And on Facebook, they have these arguments every day, just every day about some guy, Keith. I don't even know who he is. But he does the overnights, I guess. He would play Steve Summers at WFAN. His name is Keith.
Emerson?
I don't know who he is.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. But half the people love him and half hate him. And then they're yelling and screaming about Brandon and Sal in middays. And it's just a bunch of nonsense. Complete. And then they were mad yesterday, I guess, because Boomer Esiason spent too much time talking about the Rangers and Islanders. And according to these people on this, these losers on Facebook, hockey should never take precedence over baseball or football or basketball. Up. I mean, this is what they're talking about. let me give you an idea of how stupid that talk is. And I did it for 20 years. Trust me, I get it. Christopher Wray. What is Christopher Wray's title?
He's the FBI director.
Thank you. Very good. So Christopher Wray is going to speak today on the Hill. Isn't that right, Noam?
He's expected to speak on the Hill. He made this big speech yesterday. I think that's what you're referring to.
Yeah. I am. Mm-hmm. And let me quote Christopher Wray on this speech. And when we talk about how there are Facebook sites worried about, the Mets have now cut three guys in 3 days, or Boomer talks too much hockey, here's what Christopher Wray had to say, and I quote, "Foreign terrorists," this is really actually, all kidding aside, it's terrifying, "foreign terrorists, including ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and their adherents have renewed calls for attacks against Jewish communities here in the United States and across the West in statements and propaganda. The foreign terrorist threat and the potential for a coordinated attack here in the homeland, like the ISIS attack we saw at the Russia Concert Hall a couple of weeks ago, is now increasingly concerning. October 7th and the conflict that followed will feed a pipeline of radicalization and mobilization for years to come." He went on to say, and I quote, "He does not remember a time ever where terror alert was this high." So we're all having a really good time out there and yelling and screaming about, you know, what they're talking about on the fan. The FBI director is not, he's telling you, he's not even, it's not an assumption, it's not a guess, he's telling you they're coming. That Russian concert hall thing was brutal, brutal, and he's telling you that's coming here. And basically, we can't stop it.
While we're looking up at the sun with these special glasses.
With glasses on, exactly. Right. Thank you for bringing that up. Thank you. Like a bunch of morons.
I see some clouds. Does that sound like a bomb? No, that's nothing. Look at the sun is moving right according. Oh.
Now, look, I'm not saying you don't go and enjoy your life. I'm not saying that. Of course you do. And you still watch the Yankees and the Mets, and the Rangers are the best team in hockey, and the Knickerbockers, congratulations to the New York Knicks. They actually clinched a playoff spot yesterday. You know, my in-laws surprised us, came into town. I got to call Arthur Idal. I can't go to Rayo's tonight. But they surprised us, came into town for my daughter's birthday, which was last Sunday, but it's still going on. We're going to go for dinner. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have laughs. We all sat down last night. Danielle made a beautiful dinner. We watched Pretty Woman for probably the 1,000th time, and we had a bunch of laughs. I'm not saying you don't do that, but on a very serious note, folks, when I come on and I go, I can't do sports talk radio because when I hear guys muster up this, feigning this horror over somebody who elected to swing away and not bunt, when Christopher Wray is telling us that they're coming and we can't stop them, and it's going to be bad, really, really bad, here in the United States. He's not saying Tehran. He's not saying Tel Aviv. He's not saying Syria. He's saying right here in the United States. Just keep that in mind as you go about your day. And New York is no big, it's not great either. I mean, come on. Did they catch that creep yet who threw that lady down the stairs and punched her across the face?
Don't think so, no.
They had all the fingerprints yesterday.
They did, and they actually went as far as saying, we know who this person is, but it may take a while to find him.
Yeah. Hopefully he's dead. I don't know. Talking about dead, tremendous job by the Israelis yesterday, taking out three children and a bunch of grandchildren from one of the biggest Hamas leaders. I think this guy was like number two behind Sinwar. What exactly is the story there, Noam?
You know, it was just good intelligence on the part of Israel. They're following all these people, and that's why you'll see these random attacks. You saw that attack in Syria where they went after one of the leaders of another terror group, and they're going to continue to show, even as they pulled back from Gaza and have plans clearly for Rafah, that they're still watching these guys. They have eyes on all of them, and they're going to find them.
And this asshole, Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of our country, and not just the worst president, but the biggest dickbag ever, again yesterday, again, he's out there talking about Bibi making all these mistakes. And he wants Israel to call for a ceasefire. What do you mean call for a ceasefire? They're the ones that are fighting, you moron. You're calling for a ceasefire. They would have to stop fighting, not call for a ceasefire. But he wants 8 weeks so we can bring these lovely Palestinians, you know, the ones that 90% of the time vote for Hamas people, the ones that dance in the streets with Hamas people, the ones that were slapping Israeli hostages across the face as they entered Gaza, those lovely innocent people. He wants to make sure they have 8 weeks where they can get food and medicine. I guess he doesn't realize that during those 8 weeks, the hostages, they ain't coming home. And on top of that, that will enable Hamas the opportunity to reload and do it again somewhere down the road. I mean, I got to tell you, I really hate Joe Biden. I don't dislike him. I know people get angry. You have to respect the office. I don't respect the office. I don't respect Joe Biden. I'm going to say this, too. If he died today, I wouldn't care. And that is really rough. I wouldn't care. I don't want him to die. It's a horrible thing to say, obviously, but if something happened to Joe Biden and he died today, I wouldn't care. I certainly wouldn't shed a tear. Did you know?
Shed a tear for Joe Biden?
Yeah. If he died, if God forbid Joe Biden died
bad
today.
For his family, I guess, yeah.
For who? For his scumbag son?
Well, he's got other members of his family.
What family? He's got grandkids. What? They're all a bunch of animals. I'll get out of here as grandkids.
I'd feel bad for us. Kamala takes over.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah, right.
Another nightmare right there. You're right.
Yeah, you get what you pay for.
Wish
very
for. Good point yeah. right there.
Could it really get worse?
You're right about that.
Is there a war?
God, I hate him.
Wow. Sudden eclipse.
Yeah, you're right. We got to keep him alive.
Just make it to November.
I mean, yesterday, again, 20th century, 21st century, you can't get through a sentence. He's an embarrassment. And part of it is his fault. Part of it is not. Part of it is clearly Jill's fault. This is spousal abuse. This is the epitome of spousal abuse, what Jill does to her husband. And she's got the balls to tell people she loves him. She is such a power-hungry biatch. My God, is she a power-hungry biatch. No one was happier than Joe Biden last night. They had this dinner at the White House, and Robert De Niro showed up, and Jeff Bezos showed up. And the Clintons showed up. I mean, somebody give me a gun so I could blow my own brains out. And who was happier than Jill Biden hosting all those wonderful people? You know what I'm saying, Noam?
I hear you.
Yeah. There's more stories we got to cover. We have to cover this Congress battle. We're going to have Nancy Mace live on the air coming up at 8:45 this morning. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Mike Johnson. That's getting ugly. The abortion deal in Arizona. And you also heard in that open Frank Morano and Brian Kilmeade going back and forth about the heavy 100 list. Congratulations to Brian Kilmeade, number 3. Sean Hannity and one other person, the only ones to beat him. Frank Morano, pretty good for an overnight guy to finish at 44. In fact, very, very good. Where did Sitting Friends in the Morning finish on that list? You're about to find out next.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Strange men, don't be a fool. I'm hearing stories, I don't think that's cool. Why don't you tell me someone is loving you? Cause you're my girl, some say it's no longer true. You're seeing some slick continental dude. I'm begging you, please don't talk to strangers. Baby, don't you go. Don't talk to strangers. You know he'll only use you.
Rick Springfield, Don't Talk to Strangers. I know it. Used to watch him when he was on General Hospital. I used to love that show. You know, there was a time in my life, this is a true story, when I was in college, I wasn't even a kid, but I was all drunk and drug addled and all that stuff. And I had this girlfriend, and her name was Ava, like my daughter. And we would, you know, hang out because I was going to Brooklyn College and she was going to Midwood High School right across the street. And we'd hang out during the day and we made sure that no matter where we were at 3 o'clock every day, 3 o'clock every day, we were home by the TV watching Channel 7 for General Hospital. So we kind of caught on, I guess. We hopped on right when the transition went from Luke and Laura to Frisco and Felicia. Jack Wagner, and who actually he married that girl in real life. I think they're still married. And watched it every day, the Quartermains, and I watched it for years after that with Danielle, with Sonny. He's actually Greek, that actor. He's a great actor. He plays the mob guy. He's in charge there in Port Charles. Anyway, long story short, Rick Springfield started his career playing a doctor on that show.
Noah Drake.
Noah Drake, very good. Demi Moore was on that show.
Oh, my.
Yes. General Hospital. I was a Channel 7 guy. I went from Ryan's Hope at 12:30. Yeah, swear to God, to All My Children. I never missed All My Children at 1 o'clock.
One Life to Live?
That was 2 o'clock.
Okay.
And GH was 3 o'clock.
Unreal.
Ryan's Hope, All My Children, One Life to Live, and GH.
Do you remember when Elizabeth Taylor showed up and she froze the city of Port Charles? She had a freeze machine.
She had a freeze machine. Well, there was the freeze guy.
No,
there was the freeze guy. He froze it. But Liz Taylor did show up. I thought she tried to thwart that.
Maybe that's what it was. But it was summertime, and then all of a sudden the city was frozen, so they were wearing winter jackets.
So stupid.
No. What is that, a Marvel movie?
That was General Hospital. It really was.
Freeze machine.
It was a freeze machine.
I thought these things were supposed to be kind of like actual life.
No, they're silly.
I
do remember, you know, the first time I ever met Susan Lucci, and I know Susan very well. In fact, when me and Bill O'Reilly did our live show on Long Island, you remember last October, Susan Lucci showed up. But I remember the first time I met her, I was like, oh my God, you're Erica Kane. This is huge. I was a huge fan of hers, too.
It was a big deal when she finally won an Emmy or
yes,
something.
Yeah.
Like 20 years.
She had to wait a very, very long time, yeah.
Ridiculous.
Anyway, those were the days. And Rick Springfield brought back that great memory. I was talking before the break about Kilmeade and Murano's conversation. So there's this industry magazine. It's called Talkers Magazine. And you guys out there wouldn't read it, but I can promise you this. Every program director, every general manager, and the overwhelming majority of talent do read it. They read it. And there's a guy named Michael Harrison who puts on this huge conference every year here in New York. It's usually at Hofstra University. And he invites all these famous radio guys from Sean Hannity to Bill O'Reilly. You know, the first time I ever saw John Catsimatidis was I saw John speaking at one of these Talkers Magazine conventions. And I usually get invited to be a part of a, I guess they call it like a panel. Well, I told him, I'm not doing that anymore. If you're going to sit and interview Sean Hannity one-on-one, you're going to sit and interview me one-on-one. You're going to put me on a panel with some radio guy from Boston and Indianapolis and Tennessee and Wisconsin. What are you, nuts?
Are they kidding?
What are you, nuts?
This is the guy who followed ABC7 soap operas.
Thank you very much. That's right. That's my claim to fame, yes. That's my claim to fame. So every year they put together this list, their list, of the top most influential 100 radio hosts in the country. Now, let me tell you something. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of radio shows. If you even make the list, it's not a small deal. I know people get upset. What do you mean I'm number 63? Like Joe Piscopo, number 80. What do you mean I'm number 80? For years, Frank Morano, 98. Brian Kilmeade, 98. We had Katzimatidis and Cosby finish at 42. That's pretty good. 42, there's a million shows in this country. Anyway, we here on Sid and Friends in the Morning, we finished at 15. That's the highest I've ever been. The highest I ever was with Bernard, I believe, was 26. I think we were 22 last year. This year, number 15. And what's great about that is all the shows in front of us, the 14 shows in front of us, every single one of those shows is syndicated. We are the only local show on that list in the top 15. So when you're on 150 stations like Mark Levin, Sean Hannity, Brian Kilmeade, and all the folks that were higher on the list, it's easy to be high on the list. And I know this is the number one media market in the world. And yes, people listen to us all over the world on their apps and cell phones and all that. But to be a top 15 show and the only non-syndicated show, even on a list like this, is no small accomplishment.
I've now realized who I want to come back in my next life as.
Me?
Well, no. Well, that was a given. But now I have a new goal, to be one of the editors of this magazine so yeah. I can just place the shows where I want. How did they determine 97 from 62?
I'll tell you how. Okay. Well, I don't know.
I can't wait.
No, the criteria includes audience size, revenue, influence. These are what they list as criteria. You know, Richard Neer, the WFAN guy, he's part of this decision-making process. Richard Neer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Hannity, number one. Dave Ramsey, number two. Our very own Brian Kilmeade, number three. Travis and Sexton. Ugh, oh, give me a break. That is a horrible show.
They took over for Rush.
Right, and they're on Premiere. They're on 200 networks. So they're number four.
And it is a snooze.
Dana Lesh is number five. Mark Levin is number six. Oh, Dana's great. She actually wrote a terrific book called Flyover Nation. You should read it.
Yeah, and she's very hot, too.
And she is cute.
Yeah.
Mark Levin, six.
But it's radio.
Some guy named Michael Berry. I've never heard
you
of him.
You don't get it.
Michael Berry's number seven. Joe Pags, I like him. He's number eight. Tom Hartman, nine. Mike Gallagher, 10. And
you know
we're number
these,
15.
You know a lot of these people.
Wow. I know eight of the 10.
Okay.
I never heard of this guy. I guess his name is Dave Barry. I've never heard of him.
Dave Barry, the writer?
It's not Dave Barry, the writer, who's married to Kaufman in Miami. No,
okay.
It's Michael Berry, my bad. Michael Berry.
Right. No.
And I've never heard of Tom Hartman, but the other eight I do know, yes.
Tom Hartman is a liberal talk show host.
Okay. Glenn Beck is number 12. Dan Bongino is number 13. And Sid Rosenberg is number 15.
Again, I will love to be one of the editors. I just sit at a desk and go, yeah, let's just put them 27 and watch the fighting begin.
Mark Simone, I think, was number 38.
Well,
I think O'Reilly's 36.
Clearly, they haven't looked at all the numbers. now I question the list. You know, some of that stuff is clouded by, you know, one day there'll be an eclipse and people other than that, and then one day there's a political talk. That's
there is one glaring omission from this list, but I'm not going to tell you about it because
who's that?
He will.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I can guess.
Oh, gee, that's a tough one to figure out.
Just keep the show on this morning. You'll hear it.
Oofa!
Don't do that. You gave it away.
Oh, yeah. I heard the list was big in Canarsie, I heard.
Any more hints?
Vote right now. You can figure it out.
Pete Morgan checks in. He goes, on a flight back to New York, the talker's rating is too effing low. Are you kidding me? I meant to write you the other day in this when I first saw it. Bullis, he goes, it's a fantastic accomplishment, but still nonsense. Who puts on a better show than you?
Well, that's what I said to you yesterday, and then you called, and we had a conversation about it. And you were pretty calm about it. I wasn't. I said 15 was too low.
Definitely.
Well, according to Arthur Idala, I'm either the first or second ranked non-syndicated host.
You're not even in the top Jew. You're not even in the top Jew on the list.
What Jew beat me? Oh, Levin.
Levin.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know who else is not syndicated.
Don't they separate it by that? Hey, Jew?
Yeah. There's the Jew category.
Jews and non-Jews. Yeah.
Hey, look at these 15 people, Justin, and find out if there is anybody else. Because I'm under the impression we're the only non-syndicated show.
Yeah.
But according to Idala, there may be one more. I don't know.
I repeat.
Okay. That's just what the email we got said. So that's what I'm going off of.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, because I see the list.
Well, look, it seems like everybody else is syndicated. Let me see. Hannity is certainly syndicated. So is, I can't find the rest of this damn list.
Oh, okay.
Hannity is syndicated. So is Ramsey. So is Kilmeade.
So is
Travis and Sexton.
Travis and Sexton.
So is Dana Loesch. She's on America. Mm-hmm. Radio America, Mark Levin, Westwood One,
mm-hmm.
Michael Berry, Houston Syndication, it says syndication, Joe Pags, San Antonio Compass, Tom Hartman, WYD Media.
Doesn't say that he syndicated, though. Is that a syndication?
Maybe it's, yeah, I think it is.
Okay, because that's not a station, right?
That's not a station.
Right, right.
Yeah. Mike Gallagher is on Salem. Lee Habib is on Premier. Lee Habib, are you kidding? What are you, nuts? Well, what did Al Jazeera all of a sudden?
Oh, my God.
That's the other category.
Yeah. One that separated the Jews.
One's America are on the left.
Yeah.
Glenn Beck is on Premier. Dan Bongino was on Westwood One. And Lars Larson is on Compass. So I think Artie's wrong. I think I am the only non-syndicated host.
As far as I can
tell. Either way, I'm the best host in the country, and I'm not number one because the bottom line is we're not syndicated. Maybe we should be. I don't know.
I would still like to be one of the editors because I'm sitting back and laughing right now. They're laughing.
Pete Morgan thinks you should be syndicated. Tim McCarthy thinks if they ever syndicated this show, we'd be a huge. You know, all these other shows at the station are syndicated.
Yeah.
You know, Frank Morano is syndicated, believe it or not. John Catchimatidis is syndicated. Who else? Is Rudy syndicated?
Very good question.
I think he is. Larry Kudlow, I believe, is syndicated. So we do so damn well in New York, we dwarf everybody, even at this station, and certainly around the city, that I think they're afraid to mess with that.
Yeah, well, it's also, the format of our show is not as easy to syndicate. It's
sure it is.
Well.
I can do whatever you want me to do. I can maintain
sure
all the
can.
Big New York stories, and I can run a great syndicated show.
He'll do whatever we want him to do.
I mean, listen to me carefully. Donald Trump is a guest for syndication.
I know, but that's not what I'm
Nancy
saying.
Nancy Mace is a guest for syndication.
That's not what I'm saying, though. It's, you're much more flexible with when you want to take breaks and stuff like that. That stuff.
Oh, I don't want to hear about this stupid clock. Will you stop that nonsense? My God.
Okay, but then
no, I don't want to talk about that. I'm talking about the show content.
Then you won't
we can be syndicated tomorrow.
Okay. Yes,
tomorrow.
But, right. But some of these shows, because they're syndicated, have one thing in common.
What's
and
that?
I'll take. They're boring.
They're boring, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yes.
Yeah, but I could still be myself and be syndicated. Howard Stern had a pretty good success. So did Imus.
Yes.
You think I can't say asshole in Abilene, Texas?
Well, it's sweet.
No,
right.
Nobody's saying you can't.
Plus, we're streaming, so you can get the show
right
there already.
I mean, I know you can sell this damn show.
Of course.
And I got news for you. I remember when I first started in this business, there was a guy named Andrew Ashwood. He since passed away. He died a young man from cancer. And he was down at WQAM in Miami, and he sent to my co-host at the time, Scott Kaplan, 25 years ago, he said, you got to get away from this guy, Sid. This guy's got a thick Brooklyn accent. They're going to hate this guy in Clarksville, Tennessee, in La Crosse, Wisconsin, in the Bible Belt. And he could not be any more wrong. Because at one point I was syndicated in 80 markets, 80 for Joel Hollander and Sports Fan Radio Network. We did a Party with the People tour, spent 3 days in all these cities. It was like the Beatles. They went nuts.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
sponsored by Peerless Boilers on 77 WABC.
Justin Ellick here with your bottom of the hour sports update, sponsored by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Go to peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com to find a dealer near you. Pete Morgan's blown up our phones. My God, Pete, come on. It's early in the morning here. The world's best built boilers. The Yanks out in the Bronx yesterday. They dropped their series finale against the Miami Marlins 5-2. Dropped to 10-3 as the Marlins stopped the Yanks' four-game winning streak. Giancarlo Stanton, he stayed hot, though. Homered in the sixth off Brian Hoeing, his fourth this season. The home run was his first against the Marlins, his original team, of course. He became the 15th active player to homer against all 30 clubs. Juan Soto, batting 360 with 12 RBI, had a run-scoring double that cut the deficit to 4-2 in the eighth. But there was no ninth-inning rally this time. Out of the Yanks, Marcus Stroman gave up four runs, four hits, and four walks. Fours were wild in his five innings of work yesterday. He had not allowed an earned run in 12 innings over his first two starts, so he'll look to bounce back in his next one. After an off day today, the Bombers will pick things up in Cleveland tomorrow for a weekend set against the Guardians. As for the Mets, they got postponed in Atlanta, so they'll have to try again with the Braves early this afternoon, 12:20 p.m. first pitch. Luis Severino set to get the start against Atlanta's Max Fried. In the NBA, Cam Thomas had 23 points. Dennis Schroeder scored 15 of his 21 in the fourth, and the Nets rallied to beat the Toronto Raptors. 106-102. It's all moot, though. They are eliminated from playoff contention. Tonight in Boston, the Knicks return to the court for 7:30 p.m. tip against the NBA best Celtics. They currently sit as the 3 seed out of the Eastern Conference. They did clinch last night, albeit not playing, but are just a half game up on the 4th-place Cavaliers in a game and a half behind the 2nd-place Bucks. Dead quiet night on the ice last night locally, but all 3 teams are back out there tonight as their respective regular seasons dwindle down. The Rangers will welcome in the Philadelphia Flyers for a 7 p.m. puck drop. Still tops in the NHL. 110 points and 3 to play before the Islanders host the Montreal Canadiens at 7:30. Try to keep their hold on the Eastern Conference 7 seed with 4 regular season games remaining on their schedule. The Devils will return to action as well, visiting the Toronto Maple Leafs for a 7 p.m. puck drop. 3 games left for Jersey. They currently sit 6 points behind the Washington Capitals for the 2nd wild card out of the East. Finally, it is that time of year in Augusta, Georgia, with today's start of the 2024 Masters Golf Tournament. Spaniard John Rahm is your defending Masters champion. He has the 3rd-best odds to retain his green jacket this year. American World number 1, Scottie Scheffler, is the favorite heading into round 1 today, just ahead of Irishman and World number 2, Rory McIlroy, the first group.
How many majors has Scottie Scheffler won?
Oh, that's a good. I want to say 2 or 3.
Okay.
It could be 4, though.
Sure.
Okay.
Not even close.
No.
You are much closer to the first statement.
2.
No.
1?
But close. That's it.
Really? Oh, really?
He won the Masters 2 years ago.
I know he won the Masters, so.
2022. That's it.
Mm.
But he is the favorite.
Yes.
When was the last time Tiger won a major?
2019.
Very good.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
How can you forget that one?
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I remember living on the Upper West Side, and all the outdoor cafes were packed, and it was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
And people were literally screaming in the streets.
Yeah.
I mean, men, women, babies. And again, I couldn't get Jill Vitale to appreciate it because she's not a big sports fan. Anytime I brought up sports, you know, she wasn't into it. Even Bernard got into it.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
It was shivers down your spine.
It really
was,
yes.
It really was. Yeah. A great sports moment. And he's a little delusional this year, though. Seems to.
He's not delusional.
Well,
he's the 2nd best golfer ever, and you never know what could happen.
Yeah.
He did play this, Lewis. This is a cut 17. Just ahead of today's Masters, they asked Tiger Woods what he thought he can do this time around. Here's how it went.
What do you feel like you're capable of doing this week? What do you believe that you can do this week?
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more.
There you go. If everything comes together, I think I can get one more. Now, the truth is, if you're a Tiger fan, you got to pray he even makes the cut.
Right.
Forget about Saturday and Sunday. Let's get through Friday. But he is Tiger.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, and he's right. But listen, these are professional golfers. If anything comes together, if everything comes together for any of these guys, they got a chance to win the major, to win the Masters. I mean, these are the best players in the world. So if everything can come together for any of these guys, they stand a shot on Sunday. Tiger included, of course, his tee time today. 1:24 action does begin. First group out at 8 this morning. That's sports sponsored by Pete Morgan of Peerless Boilers. Go to peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com to find a dealer near you. They're the world's best built boilers. I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Mm-hmm.
drive away, looks like magic. Oh, rolling and riding and slipping and sliding, it's magic. And you.
Joe Abu checks in, the greatest men's fashion designer ever. He says, of course the show should be syndicated. There's no question about it. The number one show in America. I don't know. I mean, for me, it's pretty simple. If they ever sat me down and had that discussion, John and Chad and whoever else, I can be swayed with just one word, money. So if you can guarantee me I'd make more money because the show is syndicated, then I would do it, even at the risk of hurting the show. Because all I care about now is money. That's it. I'll be 57 years old next week. 57 next week, and I just want to be rich. I don't want to struggle anymore. I'm not complaining. I am not complaining. I do very well, but I want to be rich. So if it means more money, then fine. We'll do it. Well, if not, then I just don't care.
That's usually how you get rich, is with more money.
Right, I understand that. But I'm not sure that syndication, although I don't know anybody that that the show got syndicated and didn't make more money. Anybody. I mean, the guys that I know, the greats, they got very wealthy because of syndication. Very wealthy. But you know what, when in radio they tell you, no one makes any money anymore. That's it. It's over, it's done. The days of Francesca getting $5 million, that's over. No one makes any money anymore. Which is completely not true. The greats do make a lot of money, but they got to pay you like a great. That's the bottom line. Yes, medium road guys, they ain't making what they used to make. That's 1,000% true. But there are still guys in radio making millions of dollars. And good luck trying to find somebody who deserves it more than me. That's my only issue. Does that make sense?
I'm following you, yes. Yeah. Of course it makes
sense.
Well,
stop laughing then, prick face.
I'm laughing because I'm laughing at your bluntness. It's
I just
want to
know.
That's what should make you number one, actually.
But it
is. That you're saying you want to be rich.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
Everybody wants to. You're saying it.
Yeah, but everybody wants to, but you have to be great at what you do. I mean, really great. You can want it all day long, but we are great.
Yeah, and suppose who knows what these guys are making? Who are
I don't even want to know.
Right, and that would
well. I know
you.
Hannity between his radio show that no one listens to, and I love Sean, and his TV show rakes in about $35 million a year.
Oh, it's, oh God!
I know. I mean,
it's like when you watch these MLB trades or something, and you go. They gave this guy $40 million.
Yeah, yeah, so, $25 million for 1 year.
Sometimes,
guy was like 9-7
yeah,
last year.
Right,
pitched to a 4 ERA. $25 million
actually makes you stop the car and go, "I'm in the wrong. What am I doing?"
Right. So I was a lefty, which I could pitch.
So, like some of the most mediocre players.
You know, I'll sit down one of these days with John and Chad and ask them what they think. I don't know. You know, like I said, we've got a really good syndication company here. As far as I know, at least six or seven of our shows are syndicated. And they're adding markets. I know Marano added a market, and, you know, John and Rita, they're in a bunch of pretty good markets. So we'll have that discussion somewhere down the road.
Sure. Maybe if you talk to more alien investigators, you
yeah,
could be right. Frank, and
yeah,
you get William Shatner on.
Hey, listen, you know, for all we make fun of Frank Marano, and some of those things are ridiculous, I agree, ridiculous. But for an overnight host to crack the top 50 on this list is actually pretty good.
Of course.
Pretty good. So.
Good for Frank.
Yeah.
He deserves it. He's great.
Some of that stuff, yeah, I mean, you're not going to ever, you know, I'd rather retire than talk to Bill Shatner. But that's what he likes, so.
We're talking to the last great mafia great.
He does that.
From northern Brooklyn. Why did you decide to write a book now about hiding these guns? It seems a little bit out of sync with how the entire philosophy of mafia works.
There was a meeting in upstate New York, one of the most famous meetings. I'm dating back decades and decades ago. All the bosses, all the mafia guys were up there. And I was told that in numbers, that meeting didn't come close to the amount of mobsters Marano had at his wedding. I'm just saying.
A little bit for the purse, Frank. Yeah, here's a little bit. Just a little thank you for everything you've done for us. The same thing applies. Call me when you need.
I can tell you this. He didn't buy a house on Staten Island producing Curtis and Kobe. All right, we're done for the first hour.
He drove around once. I remember this story. He got like $1.50 of gas into his car. That's all he had.
I remember that story. I've done that.
I've got quarters. I've had to use quarters, $1.75. I've done all that, too. I remember my dad, actually, at one point when I first got married, got me a gas card, a Texaco Visa. And he said, you can only use this for gas. That's it.
Right.
And the next thing I knew, like, every day I'm buying, like, turkey sandwiches at the Texaco gas station.
They don't make bad ones there.
That's when you really start to feel like a loser.
I think the homeless guy laughed at Frank as he came out of the store.
He's like, you eating that?
Do you need some money, man? Here, you go.
In today's day and age, you know, if you're a migrant, you get to eat a Peter Luger. Forget about a Texaco sandwich. No, we take a break. We'll come back. Hour number two. We've got Curtis Sliwa and Rich Lowry. We've got a great, great guest list all day today. Jack Cittarelli, Nancy Mace, Andrew Giuliani, all of it. Three more exciting hours to come. Sit and Friends in the morning on a Thursday.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Boy, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
You have any idea what the name of this band is?
No.
Okay. Curtis Sliwa, folks, does a tremendous job getting big ratings, noon to one every weekday on the Rip and Read, overnight weekends, and of course, does a tremendous job here with me every day. I get stopped every day. People go, you and Curtis, the absolute best. The name of this band, and they've got a ton of huge hits. Some of my favorite songs. Wonderwall, Champagne Supernova, this one right here, Don't Go Away. The name of this band, they happen to be brothers, the Gallagher Brothers. The name of the band is Oasis. then you've got a story, the word Oasis, because you sent me not one but two pictures since late last night involving the word Oasis, don't you?
Absolutely. Yesterday was a very emotional day for me. As you know, my mother, Francesca, is no longer here with us.
I just want to say something quick about her before you continue the story about Oasis. When I first came back to New York, late January of 2016, I was only back a couple of weeks with Bernie. And Curtis, who I've known for years, never as close as we are now, obviously, but I've known him for years, came up to me and he said, hey, you know, you'd be doing yourself a favor. You get to know the city again. You've been away for all these years in Florida. If you went on a ride with me and the Angels, I'll get you a beret, I'll get you a jacket, the whole thing, and we'll do it. So, long story short, I did it. It was an unbelievable experience. No one knows more about this city, any borough, any place in New York than Curtis. I'm being honest. It was fascinating. Every stop on the train, Curtis had a story. But when it was over, after going down to the most violent sections of Brooklyn, when the night was over, we all went back to Curtis's house in Canarsie, about five of us. His mom was there. And she was sitting at the kitchen table. And I took this picture, which I still have, of me, Curtis, and his mother, Francesca, who had this beautiful, angelic face. I met her once that night, and she was about the sweetest woman you'll ever meet. Just wanted to tell you that.
Oh, yeah, she's up with the Angels. She really was a saint. And yesterday, April 10th, she would have been 100 years old.
Uh-huh.
So I dedicated the latter part of my day to going back to my roots, your roots, Brooklyn, where she introduced me to so many of those neighborhoods years ago. Because, you know, my dad was a merchant seaman. He was away for 8 months a year. And also, he was from Chicago.
The great Chester Sliwa.
Who would have been 103.
And when did he pass away?
He passed away, right before COVID.
Okay.
A few years before COVID.
Yeah.
And that was a real tough one. That was in Maimonides. He suffered. Yeah, my father suffered. Mm. And I told him, get out of the room. Mm. Get out of the room.
Yeah.
I got to do what I got to do. You're not going to make this man suffer here any longer. He's been struggling for a year. Get the F out of the room. And they were so terrified.
He had cancer?
No. His leg started to blow up. He ended up with water in all parts of his body. And I could see him. He was shaking.
That's what killed my dad, too, the fluid.
Right,
same
from
thing.
The pain. And I whispered in his ear, and I said, Dad, I'll take care of Mom. I'll take care of the house. Don't worry. You can go. And he loosened up. And within minutes, he was gone.
Yeah.
And I always thank Maimonides for giving him great treatment. But my mother was a saint, never cursed. She would go to church on Sunday, Novena on Monday, Stations of the Cross. She told me that God will get you closer if you live an impoverished life, totally opposite to what you were talking about, making more money, because she really believed that, true believer. And so yesterday, I said, I got to go to this meeting. And I know this is where Sid Rosenberg hung out for years at the Carmine Caro Center.
I did.
At Fillmore Avenue, Marine Park.
That was my spot.
To save the neighborhoods there, to save Bergen Beach and Mill Basin and Marine Park and Garrison Beach, which are under siege because of Floyd Bennett Field. And the Assemblywoman, Jamie Williams, conducted a meeting. She invited all officials there. From the city, the state, everything to resolve this.
And she's good. I remember the, you put together, you did. You invited me, but it wasn't me. It was you. Those two epic rallies that we put on last summer at Floyd Bennett Field. And she was, for the first one, the only politician there. And she's a Democrat. And you also have a rule that politicians don't speak. But because she was there and because she was on the same page as us, you allowed her to speak. And then, of course, she was behind that Toys R Us rally, Flappish Avenue in Brooklyn for us, rally number three last summer. Well, she's done a good job.
Just to tell you, she's been endorsed by the Republican and Conservative Party. All three lines. Totally unheard of nowadays, because she really has served her constituents. So she's sitting there, and she's almost crying. This place is packed with people, homeowners from the area, people who grew up with us, said, and decided not to leave to Florida. I'm sorry, but OEM, emergency management, Operation Emergency Management, she almost couldn't get the words out, refused to be here.
Wow.
The mayor's office refused to be here.
Eric wasn't there?
Didn't even send a rep.
Well, thank God Joanne Arriola showed up.
Wait. Governor Hochul wouldn't send a rep.
Oh, governor wasn't there.
No.
No.
National Park Service, mile away, Floyd Benefield, wouldn't send a rep. U.S. Park Police wouldn't send a rep.
Oh, come on.
It says here on the flyer, guest speaker, Councilwoman Joanne Arriola.
There you go.
The Eric Adams Republican. And boy, she solidified that last night by stiffing everybody and not showing up.
She didn't show up.
No, she got the call from Eric Adams. You do what I tell you.
Well, how do you know this?
I know this.
You know this.
You know yeah. I know everything about Eric Adams.
I know you do. Do you know that, I think I told you this on the air a couple of days ago, that it got back to me that at this point, she actually hates me more than you, yeah. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
She should hate you more, no?
Yeah. But notice, here it is, big bold letters, guest speaker.
Wow.
Joanne Arriola. Can you imagine what this made Assemblywoman Jamie Williams? So she goes, we have our guest speaker here. I had no intention of speaking because we have a rally on Sunday. I'll give the details. Get your pad and pen because I told you I'm organizing Brooklyn. You're organizing the Rockaways. We're going to get everybody back together before the summer when they'll just be rampaging through the neighborhoods. And she said, we have our guest speaker, Curtis Sliwa.
And so much better than Joanne Arriola. In fact, not to blow smoke up your ass, but so much better than anyone.
Well, we're going to get to that because we're going to talk about the Talkers 100 better than anybody.
But what number are you on?
I think you were in the top.
So I give an impassioned speech.
Got the number.
And I dedicate it to my mother, Francesca,
right.
Who would have been 100 years, and the crowd could relate.
Of course.
And then I told everybody this Sunday, you got to be 12:30 at Kimball Street between Avenue U and Avenue V.
Oh, my God. I got to tell you this. Can't believe you're going to Kimball Street between
yes.
U and V.
Yes.
When Danielle and I first got married, okay, we the first Brooklyn address we ever had was on Beshelder Street between Nostrand and Z, not far from Senior's Restaurant, and certainly not far from there. In fact, right there, for many years, they had a very fancy, not really, but they thought it was, a very fancy seafood restaurant in Brooklyn called, you don't know it?
Upesh. No. I'm having memory loss.
You have a memory loss? The tables, believe it or not, are now at a place called the Brooklyn Diner, which used to be Vicky's in Mill Basin. It was called Captain's Quarters.
Oh,
remember that place?
That's right, Captain's Quarters.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're assembling 12:30, rain, snow, sleet, or shine, and then we're going to walk over to the front of Kings Plaza Mall.
Oh, God.
Right at Flatbush.
You better have a gun.
And have a rally against the illegal aliens, the repeat offenders, the cop eaters. The cop eaters. And Adams does nothing. And Joanne Arriola, a Eric Adams Republican, does nothing. They won't even defend the cops. So you think they're going to defend us? And you want to listen today on the Rip and Read. Nancy, who has been a tremendous addition here at WABC, found a cut of Eric Adams talking about homeowners are racist. Homeowners. We're going to drop that cut.
How long ago was that?
Oh, hush, hush, mush, mush. I'm going to give you on the entree tomorrow. We're going to play the hors d'oeuvre today. You want to be listening 12 to 1. So anyway, we gotta get everybody back together. Because these politicians ruined what we had created, Sid. You had brought the Rockaways. I brought Brooklyn. We met in the middle. We had momentum. And then Joanne Arriola, it's like she took a knife out to your basketball on the basketball court at Marine Park and stabbed it and said, you're not playing basketball, and destroyed it on behalf of Eric Adams and Kathy Crime Wave Hochul. But we'll put it all back together.
I mean, look, I don't dislike her personally. In fact, when I first moved back to New York, she was very, very nice to me. She had that big event at Frankie's place, Russo's on the Bay, you know. And all your friends were there. Eric Ulrich, and other people you actually do, like Tom Sullivan, Nick Langworthy. She was always very nice to me, but I'm trying to figure out, living where I do, with all these people now living there at Floyd Bennett Field, and the warm weather coming, and my beautiful wife, Danielle, and my adorable daughter, Ava, walking on the beach. That scares the hell out of me. And I bought up 116th Street a couple of weeks ago, much to the ire.
Disaster.
It's still disgusting. So I'm trying to figure out exactly what she does.
Let me warn you. I've always been right. I'm like the Paul Revere. You saw hundreds of illegals in Penn Station who were bussed by Abbott, who got dissed again by Eric Adams last week when he was in town, dissed again. So what does he do? Send more buses.
Didn't he get like 300 more just yesterday?
300. And they came where? To the Lautenberg station in Secaucus, where Mr. Sanctuary Governor Half in the Bag Murphy put them on that New Jersey Transit train 5 minutes away. They came to Penn Station. Catholic Charities was there. What a ripoff organization using our tax dollars. Put them in cabs outside. Took them to the Roosevelt Hotel for processing. Where do you think they're going to end up, Sid? They said there's only 2,000 illegals in the tents in Floyd Bennett Field. Wrong. There are already 3,000, and they have room to put up more tents on runway 19. Where are these hundreds? You saw the video last night. Many of you saw that. And all of a sudden, here it is. You're going to be talking to Jack Citarelli, who I'm endorsing and supporting. I know you are. He's running. He said, we're not going to be a sanctuary state. Do you know that Half in the Bag Murphy, when that earthquake occurred, 5 days he was at the cloisters at Sea Island in Georgia. 5 days. Didn't even come back for the earthquake. Claimed he was at the Democrat Governors Association. No such meeting at all.
No kidding.
Nancy Cole busted him on the rip and read.
Wow.
They have been, like, scurrying. No response from Trenton. No response from this Democratic Governor Association. Yet they attacked Jack Citarelli the day he announced the other day in Freehold.
They did a poor job in this city, too. I mean, if I remember correctly, that day, hours and hours and hours after the earthquake was the first time we heard from the mayor. And why wouldn't they consider sending our kids home from school after an earthquake?
First of all, they know nothing about earthquakes. You want earthquakes, you go to California. But last night, I was still emotional. I said, I got to go to the Oasis. I'd seen the Oasis right there on Quentin Road, which is like your stomping grounds, Flatbush, for years, because I would take my mother on Sundays to Salvi's across the street.
Great place.
She loves Salvi's, the piano player. I tip him with 10, and my mother would look at me, oh, too much child support, huh? Give him 20. No, because she loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, great food,
it's a great
ambiance.
Right across the street, just, you know, it's right on the corner of Flatbush and Quentin. And, of course, I spent the majority of my life on Quentin between East 22nd and East 23rd.
But I never went to the Oasis. And last night I said, I got to go there. Sid says it's the best diner ever. I walk in there. I mean, it's a neighborhood diner, which right away, you know, I'm loving.
You
right?
Love that, yeah. Those people have been there forever, Curtis.
Absolutely. Couldn't be nicer. They all talked about you, blah, 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 blah. Then I had Arnold, who's been with me for 48 years, who used to make vanilla egg creams when he was a soda jerk at 138th and Cypress Avenue in South Bronx while going to Cardinal Hayes, the same school that Bernard McGurk went to. And he saw they had vanilla egg cream. He said, it's the best vanilla egg cream everywhere. The food, just endless. Every portion, magnificent. I was on a hike. I brought some of the food home to Nancy.
That's great.
And Nancy said, because she's, you know, the vegetarian. I had the spinach. I had She said, oh, my God, where did you get this? Can they deliver from the Oasis on Flatbush and Quentin Road?
Well, not only to the Upper West Side, but they actually give you so much food before the meal even starts. Salads and pickles and breads. Now, last night, I know you met my dear friend Pete Liberato.
Yes,
he's the owner. I'm very, very, very close with his son, George. I know it's not a very common Greek name. George Liberatos. So the father-son combination of Peter and George do run the best diner.
And it was so good. It was so good because it calmed me down. When I saw this Talkers 100.
Well, you were calm until then, until Talkers.
Talkers. I'm putting them all on blast. First of all, Sid, I realize you're 15. But you're always telling us Howard Stern, the greatest of all time.
He is. It's not even close.
It's number 22.
Well, who cares?
What do you mean?
He's making a hip
of shows.
He's on satellite radio.
I understand that. But it shows you, right?
How many of these guys on the list will admit that they call me for advice? They send me cuts. What do you think I should do? I said, you know what? Every program you start, Trump is God, Biden sucks, and you do that for 3 hours, and it's boring. Just like Wrong Way Lou Ruffino said, these syndicated programs are boring. So all your friends are telling you, yeah, syndicate, syndicate, syndicate. No, 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 no. You're live and local. That's what makes you the great talk show host you are.
But what if I can make more money?
Doesn't matter. I'm telling you,
Sid. It doesn't matter to you, maybe. What about to me?
It will. I'm telling you, you'll become.
I want to buy a condo on the beach in Florida.
Yo, you know.
Or California.
You know what these affiliates are going to do. Why did he say this? Why did he say this?
I
Why
know
did
that.
He talk
I've been,
to this?
I've been through that.
Of course. And I've been through that, too. I've been syndicated at all. I hated it. It you can't be real. You can't be Sid Rosenberg. Or your so-called friend. You're a syndicate. No, it won't be the same Sid Rosenberg. 15, you're better than all those guys. And then, who does Michael Harrison, this dreck, this person of no consequence? Hey, what are you into, payola, getting wine dined in pocket line? You got Travis and Sexton at number 4. I go up against them on the rip and read. I destroy them, Sid.
Yes, you do.
You've seen the numbers. Because
that is a statistical fact.
He's on WOR, Women's Only Radio, and they can't even get women to listen. And what do they do every day? Oh, Trump is God, Biden sucks. Turn into hour 2. Trump is God, Biden sucks. And they repeat everything that they heard on talk TV, like some of our co-hosts here at WABC. If I wanted to get cuts from talk TV, I'd watch talk TV. That's not talk radio. So, hey, Michael Harrison, do I need to tell you how many of your top 100 call me, send me tapes, say, can you give me any advice? And I run the Curtis Sliwa Talk Radio Boot Camp here at WABC. And guess who had to re-enroll? That Mameluke Frank Morano, because he fell from grace. My best graduates, Dominic Carter, right? He's on fire. He's the black Bob Grant. I mean, look, even my wife is in. Andrew Giuliani, who all of a sudden has come out of nowhere. You're going to have him on. And yeah, even Anthony Weiner. Boy, did I have to take a beating to bring him along. But I'm ready to do it because I love talk radio. Don't ruin Sid Rosenberg and tell him he should be syndicated and become milquetoast across the nation. And hey, Michael Harrison, you got schmucks, you got pishes, you got Nordwells. People I don't even know. They say I'm on satellite radio. What? What satellite? The red Chinese satellite. How do I get you? Oh, it's coordinates 59862. Beep, 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 beep. And nobody can hear you. That fake, phony, fraudulent Talkers 100. In fact, I'm challenging them all to a talk-off, like Gladiators, Russell Crowe. I'm putting you on blast. We come into a studio, no preparation before. They give us the topics right at that second, and I'll knock all of you out. Because nobody other than Sid is better than Curtis Sliwa in this business. I challenge you all. Bring it on. I'm putting you on blast.
had an accident, trust Gabo Law, personal injury and medical malpractice attorneys with decades of experience who will provide the attention you deserve and deliver the best possible results in the shortest amount of time. Gabo Law has recovered millions for their clients, and they will be able to help you. But don't take our word for it. Read their 5-star reviews from former clients on Google, Avvo, and Facebook. Call Gabo Law today, 800-560-0214 for a free consultation, or email them at info@gabolaw.com. That's GABOlaw.com. Gabo Law, where winning is no accident.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
At one time, New York State didn't have a death penalty. Crime went up, and the answer to everything was, we need the death penalty. Now, the death penalty was only for people who killed a police officer. But a woman would get mugged on Lexington Avenue, and they would say, wouldn't happen if we had the death penalty, because it became a proxy for everything. That's what they're doing with bail reform. I believe it should be changed. That's not going to change a DA who doesn't want to charge, or a judge who doesn't want to make a finding.
How do you get rid of a DA? Who's got the power to do that?
Governor can remove a DA.
Right there by Suzanne Miller. Suzanne does a podcast here. And I have no reason to say she's doing a good job. Nobody told me to say it. I don't get paid more to say it. But I thought she did a good job with Andrew Cuomo and David Patterson. She put his feet to the fire on bail reform and some other issues. And, you know, Andrew had answers. Andrew claimed, of course, that, you know, he wanted discretion for the judges. They wouldn't allow it. And that's part of the reason why bail reform has been such a failure. And he claimed that if he was able to stick around in office and wasn't basically yanked by Letitia James, that he was about to fix it. That's his contention. Either way, a nice job by Suzanne Miller. Her podcast, I believe, comes out every Thursday. I'm not really sure. Anyway, we got to take a short break because we got a whole bunch of guests stopping by, from Rich Lowry to the next governor of New Jersey. You know, he almost won the first time because of me. I know, again, that sounds narcissistic, because of me, but it's the truth. Because of me, Jack Cittarelli almost beat Phil Murphy. He got to win this time. He'll join me at 8:15. Nancy Mace, very important conversation, this battle between Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, and a whole bunch of issues for Congress as they return from recess. Nancy Mace will join us, plus Andrew Giuliani, live in studio. So a lot of great stuff still to come your way.
Boy, this is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends.
77 WABC.
Question number 12 to the Trump Manhattan jury, which is, do you listen to talk radio? If so, what station, what shows? Question number 12 to the Trump Manhattan jury is, quote, do you listen to talk radio? If so, what station shows? And at least according to Napolitano, Tacopina, Idala, and Dershowitz, that is a question directed at me.
Okay, first of all, they could ask that question verbally. They could say, and when I was picking jurors, I would say, what's your favorite book? What periodicals do you read? What newspapers do you read? It's basically the same thing, but it's in writing. So the question is it targeted toward you? Yeah, if it's coming from if it's coming from the prosecution, absolutely. But here's the thing. That is not a basis for cause to be removed if they listen to you. So it would just be the entree for more questions. All right, Sid is number one in New York City. If you listen to talk radio, chances are you listen to Sid, okay, on WABC. But then the question is, you know, they have to go further and say, is what he believes, is it everything you believe? Look, it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's free press. It's not a basis for cause to remove someone from a jury. It's just the opportunity to ask more questions.
Wow.
And so then they could use a peremptory challenge, which is a challenge based upon the fact that I don't like the way you look. I want you off the jury. Okay. But not a challenge for cause. And you only have so many peremptories. So, but challenge for cause, it's not a basis, a challenge for cause. Now, I don't know how my fellow lawyers handled it or what they said, but I just think it is a, I think it's a decent question.
That's my girl right there, Judge Jeanine Pirro, on this show every Wednesday. That was yesterday. Has her own great show here, 11 a.m. Sundays, and star of The Five on Fox. Rich Lowry is the editor of the National Review. His stuff is often syndicated right here in the New York Post. He's done it all, Politico, NBC. He's usually on Mondays, but kind enough to hop on with me today on a Thursday. And somehow or another, I found a way to inject myself in these juror questions. But you know, while we both laugh at that, you heard Pirro there, and I've also had on the program Tacopina, Idala, Napolitano. Dershowitz emailed me. These are all brilliant legal minds, and all of them believe that that question was written with me, specifically me, in mind. What do you think about that?
That's great, Sid. Poisoning the jury pool for a couple hours every morning. Hey, can I go back to your conversation with Curtis about talk show hosts and how good they are?
Yes.
This is my metric. I listen to you when I'm driving around town, you know, and it doesn't take much to listen to a radio show when you're driving. But very often, I would say the majority of the time, I come home or I park somewhere and I sit in the car and I keep listening to find out the next thing you're going to say.
Oh, wow.
I've never done that with anyone except for Rush Limbaugh. And occasionally when Mark Stein, I don't know whether you know him, he was very good subbing for Rush. But you're the only one now.
So, wow.
That's my metric.
Oh, my God. That's a big deal coming from you. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for saying that. And I know it's kind of true, not where you're sitting or watching, but or listening, I should say, but you do text me every now and then when you're not on the air saying something about what I had just said. And I always get a kick out of that. So thank you for saying that.
Absolutely.
Thank you. But on a serious note, this trial does start Monday. Forgetting about the jurors' questions and whether or not you believe that the DA or the judge had me in mind when they drew up these 42 juror questions. Fact is, despite now 3 consecutive days of Trump trying to change it, we're going to have a trial here in New York City on Monday. What are your thoughts on that?
I think he's going to get convicted. I mean, what have we seen in New York to this point that would make you say, oh, this is a fair process, right? Trump's going to get his proverbial day in court. That's going to be fair. The judge is going to be fair. The jury is going to be fair. The prosecutor is a fair-minded person. No, none of that. You know, it'd be great if they're all listeners to your show, but certainly the officers of the court, including these judges, they're all MSNBC viewers. That's the worldview they have. That's the perspective they have. So this case is nonsense at the most. You know, it's a misdemeanor. It's been stretched into, you know, a couple dozen felonies, and they're going to nail him on it. And, you know, the first thing they're going to do is make him sit in the courtroom for 4 to 6 weeks, which is the most precious commodity, everyone says, of a presidential campaign is the candidate's time.
Yeah.
That in itself is a huge downside. And then immediately, every time Joe Biden refers to him, if he's convicted, it'll be the guy's a convicted felon. So
right.
This is what they want, and I fear they're going to get it.
Well, you may be right. We'll see. Jason Miller was on this show on Monday, and he actually laid out the president's schedule for folks that may not know this. Rich just talked about it. He will be in court on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays.
That's bizarre, too.
Yeah, so we get, so Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah, so cause Miller was telling me we got this beautiful plane, this Air Force One. You got to come on it with us. It was unbelievable. And he goes, and this plane is going to be ready because Wednesdays, Saturdays, Sundays, and even some evenings, they're going to get out of here and do their campaigning because, again, they have to be in court Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yeah, speaking of campaigning, did you see the clips of Trump at the Chick-fil-A
yesterday? How great was that?
He should. All he should do is campaign at fast food restaurants and pizza joints. He's natural.
It's true.
Setting, you know, 30 milkshakes, and then the staff loves him, and the African-American girls are hugging him. It's just amazing.
Didn't he, was it East Palestine when he bought all those McDonald's burgers and stuff?
Yeah. You know, I keep on thinking back to you said, that's the comeback. You know, he went there, he went to McDonald's, and there's a lot to be said for that. So, but, you know, he's got his work cut out for him. Arizona might be off the map now. I mean, that decision there in Arizona reviving this 1864 abortion law is a big problem. And that, you know, that was a state that was going to be nip and tuck, and now it's going to be much, much tougher.
Well, let's stop it right there, then. I'm glad you brought that up. I've got Nancy Mace coming up at 8:45. She'll talk about it. I did have a private conversation with Carrie Lake running for Senate in Arizona last night. And she told me a couple of things she asked not to share. But I want to delve into that Arizona situation. We'll take a short break. We've got the great Rich Lowry here on this Thursday morning. And you're going to hear from Rich Lowry, Jack Cittarelli, and Nancy Mace, all coming up within the hour. Keep it right here. More of Rich coming up.
Is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
You know that talkers list you've been talking about all morning long, their annual heavy 100 list of, at least in their opinion, there's about five guys who sit around and make these decisions on what they consider to be the most 100 influential hosts in the country. And again, we're the only show in the top 15 that's a local show. My competition, if you want to call it that, Len Berman and Mike Riedel on WOR. Well, of course they're on the list. They're a New York morning show. You get to be on the list. Really, if you're on in New York, you just about automatically make the list. Just about automatically. Say you would think if I'm 15, what, they'd be 25, 35, no, 48. They fall 33 stops below me, Noam, your former partners.
Yeah, well, ever since I left, if you've noticed, they've fallen drastically.
Well, no, they were never higher than 48, actually, even when you were there, right?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. I don't think Rich Lowry stops his car for 30 minutes to listen to Len Berman.
No,
I don't think so. Rich was talking about the ban in Arizona. Now, Rich, the one thing I will say is Trump, who came out on this show with Howard Kurtz and on Truth Social and talked about, once again, the state deciding abortion and how the Roe versus Wade was a huge win for him. But to his credit, he did come out at least and say that Arizona went too far, but you don't think that's enough, I guess.
Yeah, the problem is I'm very pro-life. So, you know, I'd prefer if Trump were being more aggressive on this issue, but I understand for political reasons what he's doing. But the problem is pro-lifers, whatever we say, if we say, you know, we want to restrict abortion to 20 weeks or 15 weeks or whatever, which theoretically are popular positions if they're polled in isolation, all the public is really hearing is we want to restrict abortion. And the other side's, you know, you got to have freedom of choice for health care. And that argument is winning. And we haven't defeated one referendum or initiative in a state anywhere. There are going to be a bunch more on the ballot in November, including in Arizona, including in Florida, which will be a key bellwether. They got to get to 60% in Florida, so maybe we can stop that one. But we are on the defensive on this issue, and there's no doubt about it. And Trump is taking the best defensive position he can to try to say, oh, you know, it's up to the states. Don't ask me. You know,
right.
I'll give you my opinion maybe if I oppose something. But otherwise, just let the states have at it to try to neutralize the issue. But this is the best pure issue that Biden has. There's no doubt about it. He's kind of losing on everything else, but this one's a winner for him politically.
I think so. Look, I'm a pro-choice guy. I do believe that 16 weeks is about right. And I do love the fact that Trump is obviously all for the exceptions. So I think Trump comes from a very fair, compromised place, which may not help him politically and doesn't help a guy like you or Mike Pence. But to be quite frank, I don't care what you guys think. I love you like a brother, but I just don't care. And he's trying to, you know, trying to be a compromise and give both sides. But you're right. This is still a look. We've known this from the very beginning. I said this to Carrie Lake last night. This is part of the conversation I will share. And I said, listen, keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the border, which is still a disaster. Keep your eye on Israel, which is still a disaster. Abortion is a win for Biden. Any way you look at it, no matter what Trump says, abortion is a win for Biden. Very simple.
Yeah,
beat him on everything else. Beat him on everything else.
The problem she has, like a lot of other Republicans, prior to Roe, is very easy to say, I support the sweeping prohibition on abortion, which she did. She endorsed this old 1864 law, and now, for understandable reasons, has reversed, but that this is also a blow to her. And I think the best thing Republicans can do in Arizona is just offer their alternative, whatever it is, 12, 15, 20, whatever it is, have an alternative, have something you can point to, and then say, you know, Democrats are the ones who want abortion basically for all 9 months. And Trump did that in his Truth Social video.
Yeah.
I think that's a good argument. You got to make it the best you can. But if Biden wins in November, this issue will be one of the reasons why.
I couldn't agree more. 100%. This is what he's got. That's it. He doesn't have the economy. He certainly doesn't have world peace. He doesn't have the border here. So this is the one. And a lot of women absolutely vote on this. One issue voters. Like I'm starting to become with Israel. I mean, I am just, I can't believe. And listen, you know, Rich, you listen every day. I was the first Monday, October the 9th. I said flat out, Biden is not pro-Israel. He's never been pro-Israel. And it's only a matter of time before we stab Israel in the back. I said that 2 days, the first day on air after these attacks. And man, have they made me look good. What a disgrace by this United States government.
Yeah, worse than you can imagine. But, you know, back on the border, it does seem finally as though Biden is going to do some sort of executive order. This is one of the most self-destructive acts of political insanity I've ever seen. They open up the border and they just want to ignore it and go through a general election against the guy whose signature issue is the border. Like, what, do you want to lose?
Yeah.
So it seems as though they may actually issue an executive order, which I think will be kind of cauterizing the political wound, but he'll still be responsible for 3 years of millions and millions of people coming in, whatever his executive order does or not. But they should have done this 2 years ago. I mean, they never should have opened up the border. But at least it seems as though they recognize that this is a massive political vulnerability.
I look at the polls the last couple of days. You sent me this text last night. I watch it. And you're right. They're tightening a little. I think Trump still has a decent lead in a couple of states, including Michigan, but they are tightening a little. What do you attribute that to? Again, abortion?
I'm not sure. It might be some abortion. It might be some, you know, just a little Democrats coming home. It might be, you know, they made some headway maybe in all the things they've been saying about Trump. But it used to be that page I sent you is from Real Clear Politics, which aggregates all the national polls. And 3 weeks ago or so, I took a screen cap just like the one I sent you, and it was all red because it was all plus Trump. Like 19 out of the last 20 polls had been tied or Trump ahead. Now it's a little bit, you know, touch and go. Some Biden's ahead, some Trump's ahead. But if the race is tied, I don't think it's tied. I think Trump still has an advantage. But if it's tied nationally, that's still an advantage for Trump. I mean, Biden needs to win by 3 points or something to overcome the fact that Democratic votes are maldistributed. You know, you got a lot in New York and you got a lot in California, but it doesn't matter how much you're winning New York and California by if you're losing Michigan by a hair, you know, which is very plausible in the way Trump won in 2016. So I would say Trump still has an advantage, but I think Biden has, we're talking about very minute changes here. Biden's picked up a little bit.
Let's end this conversation where we started it with you giving me this incredible compliment, which I really do mean. Thank you very much. Where you said that really only two radio hosts in your lifetime, me and Rush Limbaugh, able to keep you in the car longer than you anticipated. Now that Rush is gone, your quote was, "You're the only one." I'm going to guess that one of those times that you spent time in the car listening when you shouldn't have was when Mariano Rivera was on last week.
Yeah. I was literally in my garage listening to the end of that segment. And the other one I recall is when you were telling the story about thinking a terrorist was messing around with the signs at the Hill subway stop. So I needed to know how that one ended.
You know how that one ended? It ended that the guy that was fixing the sign was actually an MTA worker.
If you see something, say something, Sid.
Well, that's what Kemper kept saying. Don't be embarrassed. I go, no, I feel like a jerk off. He goes, no. If you see something, say something, because you never know the next time that MTA guy could be a terrorist.
What a lovely guy Mariano Rivera is. And it's one thing to be the greatest ever, but then just to be, wow, what a pure 110% wonderful person.
He really is. He's charitable. He's sweet. And he loves Trump. To me, that makes you great. Rich, you're great, Joe. I love you, pal. Thank you.
All right. Thanks,
Dave. He is the editor of the National Review. He'll be back on Monday morning. Always does a fantastic job. My great buddy. I really do love him. Rich Lowry will take a short break. Coming up next, I believe the next governor of the great state of New Jersey, Jack Chitterelli, makes his return to Sit and Friends in the morning. Big Jack coming up next. There's only one thing I can say. You can stand by me. You're all alone. You can stand by me. No way. You must explain why this must be. Did you lie when you spoke to me? Stand by me.
WABC. This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
You know, it's Jersey time here on Sit and Friends in the Morning. The great Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run. So years ago, I'm not sure this guy will admit it. I'm not sure. You know, the one thing I will say about both Ann Donnelly, the DA in Nassau County, and Bruce Blakeman, the Nassau County executive, is they both, unprovoked, give me the credit for winning their elections. And this is going to sound really narcissistic, but I believe I put Jack Chitterelli on the map. And he almost beat Phil Murphy. Now, I put him there, but to his credit, which I had nothing to do with, he was an amazing candidate. And he should have won if Jersey is in a blue state and that crooked idiot Phil Murphy hadn't won before. Jack should have and would have won. But now Jack is primed to be the next governor of New Jersey. And I mean this with all sincerity. I believe he'll be one of the great governors in the United States. With that said, here he is, Jack Chitterelli. Jack, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm great, Sid, and thank you for the very generous introduction. Can we end the interview right now? I mean, it only goes down from there. I mean, God, that doesn't get any better than that.
You're right. Okay, well, nice having you.
Hey, listen, though, I got to say something about the pot shots at the Devils here this morning. I mean, your Rangers have won one Stanley Cup in the last 84 years.
Here we go.
You know, come on now. Yeah. You know, if you're going to have the governor of New Jersey on, you can't be taking pot shots at the Devils.
Listen, they did a great job, those Devil teams, Lou Lamoriello. I'm friendly with Kenny Danico, all those guys, Scott Stevens, Marty Brodeur, and that'll never go away. But they've had a bad year, I guess. That's all. Listen, you guys beat my Rangers in the first round of the playoffs last year.
Yeah, it's a young team, and they got some growing up to do, but we'll get there.
No, you guys will be fine. Like we talked about, the Hughes guys are both very good players, and Lamoriello just has to figure out the right coach and the right goalie, and you guys are going to be just fine. But you've got more important things to worry about than the Devils night in, night out on the ice. Let's get to Murphy. So he's out. He will not be running again. He is term limited. He is done. So I really have no idea, being in New York, what the landscape looks like for you, A, in your party, and B, eventually running against a Democrat. What does it look like at this stage?
Well, first, let me say, Sid, that on Tuesday night, we made things officially official with the worst-kept secret in New Jersey. I officially declared we had 700-plus people there. The atmosphere was electric and could not have been happier with the way this is launched. And I've already begun our New Jersey diner tour. There's 600 diners across New Jersey. I'll stop in every single one of them over the course of the next year and a half. You know, there's going to be a very crowded field, to answer your question, Sid, on the Democratic side. There's already, I think, four people already in there, and they expect two or three more. You know, I'm focused on winning my primary, which I believe we're going to do, and then we'll march on to deliver a victory in November of 2025.
You know, the illegals crisis, which I refer to them as not asylum seekers or migrants, they're illegals. And it has really destroyed a bunch of our cities and our states around this country, especially here in New York. It's a mess. You know, the governor's done a horrendous job. The mayor has done an even worse job, continues to beat himself on the chest, how he's done it so well and treats these people with dignity. We don't care. We don't want him here. So you're going to tell me, of course, that New Jersey is not going to be a sanctuary state under your leadership, and you're not going to deal with this nonsense, Jack, are you?
We're not going to encourage illegal immigration, Sid, with sanctuary cities or us being a sanctuary state. And I will rally with the other 49 governors. I'm hopeful to support governors like Governor Abbott in Texas, because if we don't support him, we're all border states. And I really do believe what's going on the border is a matter of national security, and Joe Biden is failing the nation. I don't understand us not being tougher on Mexico. Mexico is enabling this. They're facilitating it. If they're such an important trading partner, maybe it's important. Maybe it's time for economic sanctions. They're letting people from Central America walk right through their country to the U.S. border.
What are some of the other issues right now we're looking at in the state of Jersey? I know that when I lived in Tenafly, for example, I've told you this many times, Jack, and I mean this. Tenafly, New Jersey is still my favorite all-time address. And I've lived in a beautiful home in Boca. I live in a beautiful home right now on the beach in Bell Harbor, Queens. But I loved living in Tenafly, New Jersey. I screwed it up, but I love living there. But talking to people even in that area, that beautiful Bergen County area, home invasions, car thefts, crime like they've never seen before. Is that still a major issue even in counties like Bergen?
It is a major issue. We're seeing a rise in crime in the suburbs. People see the lawlessness, Sid. They see what's going on the border. They see the price of their groceries. And they see that Joe Biden is too old for the job and a vice president's unqualified for the job. It's why I believe Donald Trump will be elected governor, president this year. But
well, yeah, hold on. Now that you mentioned Trump, will you be looking for an endorsement from President Trump?
For one endorsement, I've said this time and time again, Sid, and that's from the people of New Jersey. So that's why I'm out there every single day. But property taxes is a persistent problem. The lawlessness, the lack of support for police. As I said in my speech the other night, it got one of the loudest rounds of applause. On day one, I appoint an attorney general who supports both police and parents.
Well, that is a big deal because, you know, we've come to notice, Jack, that DAs, attorney generals, even judges. You know, we talk about these politicians all the time, and they deserve to get clobbered, mayors and governors, city council people and senators across this country. But my God, Jack Cittarelli, these judges and DAs and AGs, they're killing us.
They're killing us, and we need to reform bail reform. It was well-intentioned, but it has had some unintended consequences, and we need to reform it, and we will. But more than anything, we need to let the law enforcement community know that we've got their back. Their job has never been harder, Sid. I mean, one of the other problems we're seeing across the state, too, is our public schools are failing our kids. So I'll be issuing some significant reforms with regard to the public school curriculum. These are the issues that bother New Jerseyans every single day. These were the issues 4 years ago, and Phil Murphy hasn't solved them. So we're going to continue to talk about these kitchen table issues and what this chief executive officer is going to do to solve people's problems.
You know, Jack, it's not exclusive to New Jersey. You're right. Every issue you just mentioned, we've got probably exponentially worse here in New York, and they've got the same issues in Philadelphia, and they've got the same issues in Los Angeles, and they've got the same issues in Chicago. You know where I'm going with this. This is not a coincidence. Every one of the cities I just mentioned have Democrat governors, and quite frankly, in some of the major cities, Democrat mayors. That has become the dirty word. You look for a city that is failing in the United States, you're going to find the word Democrat.
And these Democrats like to refer themselves as progressives, but Sid, I'll ask the question, where is the progress? Progress. We've moved backward, not forward. And so in New Jersey, you know, we're not going to let these people label themselves as progressives when there's been no progress. These are very liberal policies that have not worked for New Jersey. So, again, we're going to get back to the basics, supporting law enforcement, getting tough on crime, reforming bail reform. And, of course, here in New Jersey, we're known for having the worst business climate in the nation and the worst state in which to retire. Those are two things that I'm going to focus heavily on fixing as well.
The worst state to retire? I can't believe that's the case. Hey, tell me about Atlantic City. I haven't been there. I'm not going to lie to you, Jack. I used to go all the time, Trump's place. I have not gone in a couple of years. You know, Jimmy Allen, of course, got the Hard Rock right there on the beach. And I love Jimmy and I love the Hard Rock. And I was there quite a bit. But it's been a couple of years. Summer coming up now, next month, basically hot weather. What are you looking at in Atlantic City?
Well, hopefully it'll be another good year. But we've got to make Atlantic City not so dependent on just one industry. Of course, the casino industry is important. And we're going to do everything to make sure that it continues to thrive in New Jersey. But we've got to get people to live in our cities again, Sid. When you take a look at our seven major cities, they aren't places where people want to live. They aren't places where people feel safe. They aren't places where people trust the school systems. And when that's the case, people won't live there.
What are some of those? I'm curious. I hope you're not talking about places like Trenton and Camden. But what are some of those seven major cities?
Name three of them: Atlantic City, Trenton, Camden, Patterson, Elizabeth, Newark, down the line. Our suburbs are magnificent, Sid, but suburbs are not the engines of economic growth. Thriving cities are. And so we need a plan that's going to revitalize our cities. I'm not about gentrification. I'm not about dislocating people. But we've got to get people to want to live in our cities again and make them thriving economic centers. Otherwise, New Jersey is doomed economically.
This is Jack Cittarelli. He's going to be, trust me, write it down right now, the next governor of New Jersey. And he's going to be a powerhouse in this country when it comes to the right politics. So my friend Jennifer Harrison just sent me a text, and she runs Victims' Rights in New York. Her boyfriend, Jack, was murdered many, many years ago, and basically there's been no apology, nothing done since. She says New Jersey also passed their own form of clean slate, which I can't stand. Kathy Hochul did that here in New York. Would you appeal that, and would you strengthen their Office of Victim Services and Victims' Rights, which are pretty much non-existent in New Jersey right now, very similar to New York?
You know, with the liberals that are running government these days, Sid, we seem to have entered an era where there's more sympathy for the criminal than there is for the victims. And so I'm not familiar. I'm not very, very familiar with the laws that she's mentioning. But listen, we're going to do everything to protect people in the community. We're going to do everything to support victims of crime. And we're going to get tough on criminals again. I do believe the officer, that horrible story, the tragic officer that was killed recently in New York,
Diller.
The person who shot them had been arrested numerous times.
Yes.
Numerous times prior to that cop being killed.
What is it like in Jersey? And again, a lot of these questions I ask because I'm not there. I'm ignorant. I'm being honest. What is it like when it comes to these pro-Palestinian rallies? You know, they're all over New York, and it's not as if, you know, they're just exercising their First Amendment right and going out there and gathering. They're doing stuff that I think is illegal. They're going into events, you know, churches and blocking airports and traffic. And I don't think that New York is doing enough to stop these people. What is that aspect like, these pro-Palestinian rallies in your state?
We haven't seen many pro-Palestinian rallies across New Jersey. I've said all along, though, Sid, Israel has a right to defend itself, and it has a right to rid the region of terrorists and do all it can to protect its sovereignty. So, but we haven't seen pro-Palestinian rallies, a lot of them, in New Jersey. There have been small ones. As you said, people have a right to peacefully assemble. They have a right to free speech. And if they're going to do so, we ask that they continue to do so very, very respectfully. But Israel has a right to defend itself and rid the region of terrorists.
Well, on the way out, Jack, if you had to pick one, and this was a great discussion, and clearly you know the issues and you're the right guy for the job, but if you had to pick one on the way out, one issue that you think needs to be fixed the most in your state, New Jersey, what would it be?
Property taxes, property taxes, and property taxes. It's the most regressive tax there is, and I propose that we'll never tax a house at more than 1% of its market value. And also property taxes will be frozen once anybody reaches the age of 70 or older. So those are two things that we can do to help people stay in their homes, get started here, and stay in their homes once they retire. 1% of the assessed value of your home and property taxes are frozen once you hit age 70. Two very easy programs to implement across New Jersey.
Well, I'll tell you this. I have enough work to do between New York and Israel. I mean, they got me working 8-9 days a week, all these folks, Jack. But when Jack Manzo calls me and says, hey, meet Chitterelli at the Brownstone, I'm going to be there.
Well, I appreciate that. And my brother Philip will be there, too, who is one of your biggest fans.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Phil Chitterelli, my man. All right, well, listen, you know what? I thought the world of you last time you ran, and I believe you really are primed and ready to win this time around, and I'm here for you anytime you need me, Jack Chitterelli. Thank you so much.
We know we need to do a little better, and we're looking forward to delivering that win in 2025. Thanks for the airtime.
All right, Jack Chitterelli, folks. There he is, the next governor of the state of New Jersey. He's got it all, man. He's a Republican. He's smart. He cares. He's good-looking. He's the perfect politician for the state of New Jersey. Still more to do. Nancy Mace, Andrew Giuliani, and more. But Bruce, here's his New Jersey song, Born to Run.
Sit in Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
All right, been a great show already today. Curtis Sliwa, Rich Lowry, the next governor of New Jersey, Jack Chitterelli. Saw Nancy Mace on CNN earlier this morning. She looked great. She sounded great. You know, I used to like John Berman, but he's become such an ass face. We can't help it. He's got that CNN disease. And he's actually not a bad guy, but well, he just sounds like an idiot. And then poor Nancy up there, you know, trying to answer all these Pfizer questions and Mike Johnson questions and abortion questions and Donald Trump questions. So if you want to hear Nancy Mace at her best, do yourself a favor. Keep the dial where it is right now, because I'm going to be back in a couple of minutes with the aforementioned great Nancy Mace.
Sit in Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Good song here. JT, I think he's going to be in concert sometime soon. Nancy Mace is my favorite congresswoman. I don't want to piss off the Esposito and the boys. And she was on CNN this morning doing a great job. But she's a very, very close friend of mine, does a great job in D.C. She's back with us this morning. Nancy, good morning. And I made you laugh last night, so that's good, right?
No, absolutely. And good morning, Sid. I hope you're doing well.
I am doing well. Let's get to these topics because you've only got about 9 minutes. I understand that.
Yeah.
Let's get to Mike Johnson, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I know Johnson will be at Mar-a-Lago tomorrow visiting with Donald Trump. You know, look, it is what it is. Marjorie Taylor Greene hasn't liked any of these speakers from McCarthy to this guy now. She wants them all out. But eventually, we got to stick with somebody. I like Mike Johnson. What can you make of this Johnson-Greene battle?
Well, there's actually not even going to be a vote on a motion to vacate because the kind of resolution that was filed wasn't privileged. So there will not be any vote to vacate the speaker anytime soon because of the way the bill was filed, which means it's not happening. I like Mike. I don't agree with him on everything. You don't agree with him on everything, but he is a nice guy. He's a Boy Scout, and he does not lie. So when we're negotiating deals with him or discussing legislation, the guy will always tell you the truth. And honesty and integrity are sorely needed in Washington, D.C., and I respect him for it.
I don't like giving money to Ukraine, and I haven't for a long time. I know people smarter than me, Peter King, blah, 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 they're all for it. I think it's nonsense. I don't trust Zelensky. I don't trust Ukraine. I think that money would be much better served here in Israel. To me, Ukraine, at best, is third on the list. But this bill that Mike seems to be okay with has $60 billion going to Ukraine and $14 billion going to Israel. Why should I be okay with that?
Well, you shouldn't be. And in fact, $60 billion a year is more than we send our United States Marine Corps to train our Marines and have our Marine defenses. And so, you know, we have to look at, you know, one, I think this was a negotiating tactic for the minibus a couple of weeks ago that we had. You know, I think that was part of the deal to get the minibus. He had to put the Ukraine supplemental aid on the table on the floor, presumably this week or next. But the other thing is, too, is what do we, you know, all this talk, we're talking about FISA and national security. But our own border is wide open. We're letting terrorists in every single day. Our national security, our nation's sovereignty is vulnerable. So what are we doing there, and why are we putting the border of other nations before ours? And, you know, I said this morning on Fox News, but we have a moral obligation to Israel. That is our number one priority because of our own belief in democracy and our own belief in Israel as our number one ally over there, only ally in the Middle East, quite frankly. But we have a moral obligation to support her in everything, every endeavor that she's doing, including fighting terrorism in the Middle East.
I agree. But that also does not excuse the fact, like you just said, that we're not spending more money on our own border. So what happens with that?
No, exactly. And I mean, I'm looking at, you know, the terrorist watch list and the hundreds of terrorists that have come in that we know about. There are hundreds more that we don't know about that come in. They have access to our open border every single day. We're seeing Chinese actors, Russian actors, Middle Eastern actors that are adversaries of ours. They are not American. They want to take down our country. In fact, we hear already a chant by the left saying death to America. I mean, that's what's happening in this country, and the left supports it, in my opinion, quite frankly, because they're not putting a stop to it.
That's in Dearborn, Michigan. That was just a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. Death to America, death to Israel, and that's the type of guy that Joe Biden wants voting for him. God bless Joe Biden. What an ass.
Yeah.
Let me move over to the FISA thing. You just mentioned it. You voted it down yesterday. Donald Trump wants to kill it. You're on the right side of that as well. You spent a lot of time on CNN talking about FISA because they thought it was ridiculous that Donald Trump said that was used to spy on me. Donald Trump is right. That's exactly what they did. Tell me about you voting down FISA yesterday.
Well, was there our only chance to kill FISA? And, you know, we're negotiating right now to try to get some real teeth, some real reforms right now. But you shouldn't be able to spy on American citizens without a warrant. That is what's in the Constitution. Every American citizen has that right. And the government, the deep state, shouldn't supersede that right. And, you know, look, I'm a Republican who I have voted to put members of my own party, hold them in contempt and throw them in jail. For example, I've done that because I've been consistent in how I apply the Constitution, regardless of who's in power, Republican or Democrat. I wish more members of Congress took that attitude and took the Constitution more seriously.
Tell me about abortion. I had a private conversation, which I'm not allowed to share, with Carrie Lake last night. She's in Arizona running for Senate, about this this latest news, which it goes back to a bill over 150 years ago, Arizona talking about making just banning abortion. And Trump never said that. Trump said leave it up to the states. In fact, Trump, I thought, on this show, my show, and along with Howard Kurtz and Truth Social, very compromised when it came to the abortion issue. How dangerous for us Republicans and Donald Trump is what Arizona did a couple of days ago.
Well, it was like pulling the pin out of the grenade in Arizona, for quite frankly. And I hope like hell that Carrie Lake will demand the state legislature repeal the ruling in the Arizona Supreme Court ASAP. There should be no delay, because we're losing the war on the message. We're losing the war, you know, the argument that we protect women and girls, because of any sort of delay tactics. She needs to get out there and be out front, lean in, and demand that the state legislature move to repeal and change and fix the law in Arizona. Right now, the law of the land, according to the 10th Amendment, leaves any power that's not with the federal government, leaves it with the states. It's up to the people. And I hope, like, Arizona and other states will put abortion on the ballot in November and let the people decide. Trump wants this in the hands of the people. Trump supports exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother, those sorts of things, which the Arizona bill is draconian. We're talking about throwing doctors in jail and making it a felony. I don't think so. And Republicans need to be vocal. They need to be loud. They don't need to be afraid of their shadow on this one.
You know, I spoke to Steve Bannon about this a couple of weeks ago, because I think abortion can beat us. And that's why when Trump was on this show a couple of weeks ago, I made him talk about it. And Bannon said, well, you know, look, I'm not saying it's not important, but we got to keep our eye on the ball. Where Trump is going to win this is fixing the border, Israel, World War III, the economy, inflation, interest rates. That's where Trump wins. He thinks Trump wins there rather than loses with abortion. What are your thoughts on Bannon's thoughts?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I actually agree with it. And that's why the left keeps bringing up abortion. They don't want to talk about inflation. They don't want to talk about spending. They don't want to talk about the border. They don't want to talk about immigration, because those are losing issues for them. So anytime there is an explosive argument regarding abortion, they win. That is the only thing they want to talk about, because that is the only thing they have left to stand on in this country. And it is effective, quite frankly, in races up and down the ballot for every office in the country.
Let's wrap it up here. Nancy Mace, you are, in my opinion, and yes, we're friendly, so I'm in the bag. I think you're one of the most impressive Congress people in this country, but you got to win again. You got a primary coming up. You got a race coming up. And I know you're out there raising money right now. So for my listeners and folks who love you because I love you, how do they help Nancy Mace today?
I love you too, Sid. It's nancymace.org. You can chip in a dollar. You can chip in $1,000. You can do it right now when you get off of Sid and Friends at WABC this morning at nancymace.org.
All right. You keep doing your thing, Nance. You're great. We need you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Good luck
sir.
Today.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Nance. There she is, my friend Nancy Mace out of South Carolina. Please donate today. Go to nancymace.org. And I got us to the point. We're going to get those spots in, Lewis. This is Inside Baseball, of course, but here's some James Taylor, then some spots, then Noam with the news, then
don't
Andrew Giuliani
anybody.
Live in studio. Yeah. Number 15, ladies and gentlemen. Number 15.
Thought I was in love a couple of times before with the girl next door. But that was long before I met you. Now I'm sure that I won't forget you. And I thank my lucky stars that you are who you are. And not just another lovely lady sent down to break my heart. Isn't it amazing a man like me feel this way? Tell me how much longer it can grow stronger every day. Yeah. How much longer?
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Question number 12. To the Trump Manhattan jury, which is, do you listen to talk radio? If so, what station, what shows? So I spoke to a couple of attorneys last night, and they said that is directed at you. Of course, I still can't believe that's true, but it may be true. But let me read this before I get to the great defense attorney, the best in the world, Joseph Tacopina. And this comes from the very prestigious judge who joins me every Friday, who Tacopino loves, Andrew Napolitano. And he wrote this. He said, just heard you talk about the Trump trial jury questionnaire. Let me tell you what the judicial mind thinks about when crafting these questions. The court is not looking for all influences on potential jurors. That would be impossible to ascertain. The court is looking for effective influences on potential jurors. In New York City, on all matters Trump, that's you and you alone. I know you're not a fan of Justice Mershon, but he obviously recognizes your effectiveness. See you Friday.
Let's talk about me for a minute. Well, how do you think I feel about what's been going on? Let's talk about me for a minute. Well, how do you think I feel about what's gone wrong?
Well, maybe Judge Napolitano will be here tomorrow. Time is he's on at 7:45 because he has that hit across the street after.
Yes.
I was just talking to Nancy Mace about money to Israel. And there's kind of back and forth between Mike Johnson and the House members. Money to Ukraine, money to Israel, money to the border. And I think what we have to keep in mind for my listeners that have really, really gone up in big numbers since October the 7th, a bunch of you listening right now, 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and other places. I think what we have to keep in mind right now is the fact that an attack from Iran is not if, it's not even when. It looks as though it's imminent. What does that mean? That means that today, tomorrow, not long after that, Israel and the United States fully expects Iran to attack Israel. Of course, revenge for the attack in Syria that killed Iranians, including one of their top guns. Now, I've been reading and watching that our feckless, ineffective, and douchebag president, one Joe Biden, has been on the phone with Iran. Could you imagine that, by the way? Hey, it's Joe. Could I talk to the mullah? I mean, how does that phone call go?
Oh, the one we really like. Okay,
it's got to put him on hold, right? You got to put Biden on hold for like 40 minutes and play like some Iranian pop star on hold.
Yeah, elevator music.
Tell him I'm indisposed for about 35, 40 minutes.
How does he talk?
Tell him we need, just leave the check blank.
Leave the check blank. But it's not, you know, it's funny, and that's a great impression. But
I don't know how he talks to any of these people really, on the phone.
I know. I don't know either. I mean, he made a point yesterday that I don't know what the hell he was saying. He was saying that he was once again criticizing my man Bibi. I hate when people criticize Bibi. I really do. And there are so many of them now. So many New York, Israel, this administration. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. As far as I'm concerned, you're like, BB, you can blow me. I don't care. I like him. He's a perfect guy for the job. BB is the only guy that can save Israel, and Donald Trump is the only guy that can save this country. That is not up for debate. That's a fact. You think Benny Gantz can save Israel? How stupid are you? It's BB and Trump. But Biden, again yesterday, attacked Bibi, again, said he's making a mistake, said he's been on the phone, can't make this up, with Egyptians, Jordanians, and some other group I couldn't make it out. He doesn't speak very well. He's been on the phone. So he's been on the phone, supposedly, the last 24 hours with Iran, trying to convince them not to attack Israel. But don't worry, because he also said that he's got Israel's back.
They think they've got to be holding the phone and holding the receiver while he's talking. Going, I can't make out anything he says. I speak English better than he does. Sounds like he's lost. So what do we demand this time?
Could you imagine if he can't make the call, I should say, that the the person next to make the call to Iran is Kamala Harris? I mean, we're talking about Iran destroying Israel. Really, they become a threat here in the United States. And the last line of defense may be Kamala Harris, who got the job in the first place because she gave very good oral to the mayor of San Francisco. That is what's on her resume. That's what she's good at. Barack Obama once said that she is the most attractive DA in the country. That's how she got her job.
So they hand the phone to her,
yeah,
and she's cackling. Oh, the head of Jordan. Is that a Jordan? So, there's this thing about a ceasefire. Can I just... maybe let me ask my advisor what that means. I don't know.
These are the people in charge, folks. Not only are these the people in charge, but these are the people that want to continue to be in charge. And there are millions of you out there, including my own sister, stupid enough to vote for these people. I don't know what else you need to see. It's like Adams, the mayor in this city. He did it again yesterday. He did it again. You got to play this cut number 12. And then I'm going to take a small poll. You know what an informal poll is? It's a dressed down guy from Warsaw. Get it? Informal poll. So the four of you... You think Kamala got that?
I did poll vote.
So I'm going to ask Lou Ruffino, Justin Ellick, Jimmy Flippin, and Noam Layden whether they agree or disagree with the statement you're about to hear from your elected mayor of New York City. This would be cut number 12.
New York is the safest big city in America. This is not my opinion. The stats show that. We're the safest big city in America. But when I talk about, and thank you for that. You know, you're so kind. You know, these are the facts. Look at these numbers.
Gave him
what's
finger.
That first one?
Somebody gave him the finger.
All the way on the far left. Oh.
So, according
look
to Mayor Adams,
numbers, and look at where we are.
So he keeps going.
Safest big city in America.
Yeah, you go with that.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for that.
All right, so according to the mayor, we are the safest big city in America. Okay? He's got stats that can back that up. Don't watch the news. You're going to see three stories. Some old lady got knocked down a bunch of church steps. Somebody who got stabbed 84 times on the 4 train yesterday. And another cop, who knows what. Don't pay attention to it. It's all blown out of proportion because the truth is we are the safest big city in America. Lou Ruffino, agree or disagree?
How could you not agree? Because there's no more barbecues going on. No, he's out of his mind.
Justin Ellick, agree or disagree with the mayor?
I'm not delusional, so I disagree.
Noam Layden, agree or disagree?
I mean, I sit in the newsroom of all places, so I'd have to disagree.
Jimmy Flippin, agree or disagree?
Okay, the mic's on. Yeah, so I would say absolutely not. Disagree.
Okay. And you two guys, the last two guys, Jim and Noam, your job is to present the news every day. So every time something happens in the city, you're the first people to tell us about that, right?
And we don't even cover all of it because then it would just be one long crime blotter, right. And that wouldn't be very interesting. So we're only telling you a quarter of what's actually going on.
Yeah, and also I would say that, like, they talk about perception a lot. The NYPD brass, but that's part of public safety. Like,
sure.
You feel like you're not safe going outside.
Well, listen, my perception is that these politicians are assholes. That's my perception. You want to agree or disagree with that, Jimmy?
I'm going to just let that hang there.
It's probably the smartest thing.
Yeah. I'll abstain, please.
Yeah. That's the vice president of the United States.
It makes me want to, like, hit myself.
How many laughs do we have in there? Now we got Kamala laughing. Where's my friend Rich Lowry? We have him.
Rich Lowry.
Yeah, he likes Lowry. He likes to laugh sometimes. But then last week,
here's somebody everybody should know. Yeah.
Is that me?
That was you. Obviously. Yeah,
didn't we take somebody last week who was laughing too on this show? You added it to the laugh library.
It was you.
Oh, it was you. Me. Yeah, it was you.
None of this is a laughing matter. I mean, Iran is about to strike Israel, maybe even American interests in and around the Middle East. The city's a mess, and you've got a mayor that just continues day after day to tell us we're wrong. We're wrong. It's great. He's doing great. The city's great. When Bianca Peters, the beautiful Bianca Peters, Fox 5 anchor, says, I have been treated badly in the subways. And the mayor laughs like Rich Lowry, by the way, when she says that. And says, sorry, sweetie girl. What, you got a bad cup of coffee? He said, I wish it was that. And these are the people that are in charge. They don't care. It's kind of like the kid in Michigan, right? The kid in Michigan's having all kinds of issues. Goes to his mom and his dad. And he says, Mommy, Daddy, I got some issues. Like, I want to kill all my classmates. And how does the mom react? Like Kamala Harris would react. Same way. Not at all concerned. This was the mother's reaction when her son, Ethan, said, I want to kill everybody. So now mommy and daddy are going to jail for 15 years. And the kid was looking for help. Well, that's us. Today, and remove the school shooting part. Today we're Ethan Crumbly. And we're asking for help. We're not interested in what you think, what you perceive, what you think you know. Mayor Adams, we're asking for your help. Stop telling us it's great. We don't think it's great. And your job is to appease me because I voted for you. Same thing with Joe Biden. All these officials, Joanne Ariola. I mean, come on. Curtis Sliwa told you about Foy Bennett Field. He told you, Curtis Sliwa. He was right. 116th Street is a sewer. I don't care why that's the case. There's all kinds of rumors, kickbacks, all kinds of stuff. Rumors, allegations. I don't know. Fix it. We're not interested in how you think you are doing. You get elected because it's up to us to vote on how you're doing. You can stand there every day and tell us you're doing a great job when your approval rating is 34%. Clearly, the masses don't agree. Do something about it. You know, we got all these Sid Rosenberg shirts now. More yesterday. Sid Rosenberg and friends kind of in the same logo as you would for the election. Trump-Pence 2024 election. And you've got the Says Who line, which is still doing very, very well. And Sid happens. The new slogan for this show is going to be, do something. Just do something. Biden, Adams, the council people, your assembly people. Do something. God damn it, do something.
Yeah.
entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC. Friends.
All right, back here in studio, 928 on your Thursday morning. Andrew Giuliani looks like a $1 million. Really does. Got a nice blue suit and white tie and beautiful blue, red, and white white tie. I should say white shirt, nice pin. And he's got his really great podcast coming up. And he's been interviewing on this podcast all the Senate hopefuls in that race against Gillibrand coming up in November, which includes Saproconi, Eisen, and today, I guess, I'll talk to Kara Kashanova.
Yeah, that's right. And, Sid, whenever I come in studio with you, I mean, it's a high bar that I need to...
I dressed down today. I'm just dressed in a nice little shirt that Lewis Recaut made for me years ago, Skip Gambert, and that's it.
Even when you dress down, I love the orange. I mean, it's got your baseball team's kind of colors of heart right there. You know, they might not be 10-2 like my team, but still, you look very good.
10-3.
10-3.
I forget about those losses.
Yeah, that's what we try to do.
You may forget. So Trump and Bragg about to go head to head on Monday, and we've had a lot of fun with that on this show. I know you're aware of that, but you know, there's very few stories that we try not to make about me. I mean, everything. Some we just can't do it. I mean, Ukraine, I'm having a tough time. You understand that. Unless I go to, like, Inner Vernacross neighborhood in Sheepshead Bay.
Sid, I think it's the story that actually makes it about you. It's not you making the story about it. I think the story actually finds a way of making it about Sid.
Well,
how
in
about
this
that?
Case, that may be the case. Because before we even start this big trial, which is set to begin on Monday, despite Trump trying now 3 consecutive days to delay it, it turns out that they made public the 42 questions that will go to the jury. And question number 12, according to all these legal greats, Tacopina, Dershowitz, Idala, Pirro, Napolitano, they all say is directed right at me.
Yeah.
Right at me. Here is Judge Jeanine Pirro from yesterday's show. Andrew, you'll enjoy this. Cut number 15, talking about question number 12. Question number 12 to the Trump Manhattan jury is, quote, do you listen to talk radio? If so, what station shows? And at least according to Napolitano, Tacopina, Idala, and Dershowitz, that is a question directed at me.
Okay, first of all, they could ask that question verbally. They could say, and when I was picking jurors, I would say, what's your favorite book? What periodicals do you read? What newspapers do you read? It's basically the same thing, but it's in writing. So the question is it targeted toward you? Yeah, if it's coming from the prosecution, absolutely. But here's the thing. That is not a basis for cause to be removed if they listen to you. So it would just be the entree for more questions. All right, Sid is number one in New York City. If you listen to talk radio, chances are you listen to Sid, okay, on WABC. But then the question is, you know, they have to go further and say, is what he believes, is it everything you believe? Look, it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's free press. It's not a basis for cause to remove someone from a jury. It's just the opportunity to ask more questions.
Wow.
And so then they could use a peremptory challenge, which is a challenge based upon the fact that I don't like the way you look. I want you off the jury. Okay. But not a challenge for cause. And you only have so many peremptories. So, but challenge for cause, it's not a basis, challenge for cause. Now, I don't know how my fellow lawyers handled it or what they said, but I think it's a decent question.
Well, Sid, I mean, I couldn't agree with her more. And I think it absolutely is directed toward you, right? And think about WABC, right? You are the leadoff hitter and really kind of the cleanup hitter. You're the Aaron Judge leadoff hitter hitting home runs here for WABC. But also think about Rudolph Giuliani,
of
right?
Course.
Think about Curtis Sliwa, Greg Kelly,
yep.
James Golden. I mean, you've got somebody who was Rush's producer there for such a long time. John Catsimatidis.
I know John has
been with both sides there at different times, but you know, just was at a Trump fundraiser, was one of the big underwriters to all that. So they're looking and saying, hey, wait a second. If you listen to WABC, there's a very good chance that you probably tilt pro-Trump. I thought, really, it was very important for the defense in this case to make sure that they got the political persuasion of the actual jury. Because, to me, This is a case where the facts almost don't matter. And what I mean by that is, if somebody actually looked at the facts and they were unbiased, they would see that this case shouldn't even go to trial. Would
no
get thrown out.
No question. But, and yet, most people I speak to seem to think he's going to get convicted.
Because it all has to do with jury selection.
It's
all New York. And you look about New York, you look at Manhattan, you say 4 in 5 have voted for Alvin Bragg. 3 of 4 have voted for Joe Biden. I mean, if you have a jury where just 2 people are fair-minded there, then Trump doesn't get convicted. But look at what's happened. We've had Letitia James, Marichal, you have Engoron. Look at all the characters, the horrendous characters that have come out of New York, the New York judicial system recently. How can you trust it?
You can't. Now, the last couple of weeks, right after, he won the primary. Abortion, I explained this to some of my friends, are like, he needs to talk more about abortion. No, he doesn't, dummy.
Yes,
because the truth is, that's not a Republican talking point.
Yes.
Okay? Once he won the primary, then yes, he's got to talk about it because that's all the Democrats have. Now, I'll give him credit. Between his Howard Kurtz interview, between his Truth Social video 2 days ago, and especially the interview he did with me, I thought he came off as very compromised. 16 weeks. He's all for exceptions. That's a very, very, very big deal. Leave it up to the states. Yet, some will say what happened in Arizona yesterday may be part of the death knell come November. I think that's way too much, but some are saying that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think this is, if I'm advising him, I'm telling him we have to pick our playing field that we're going to play on. And that playing field is going to be crime. That playing field is going to be the southern border. Those are our two playing fields. That's it. I mean, other things we can talk about,
Israel too.
Israel certainly has to do with it. And Biden, by the way, is in a massive bind when you look at Minnesota and Michigan with those no contest voters. So that's certainly an issue that I think Biden is really, really hanging himself on. And if you're advising Biden, if he could actually listen to you, he is in the 20th century, after all, right. You tell him to play on abortion. The ironic thing is, in the 20th century, Democrats' positions, the last president of the 20th century, Bill Clinton's position on abortion was safe, legal, and rare. How different is that than the actual mainstream of the Democratic Party right now, which it sounds like that's exactly what Donald Trump's position is.
It does. He sounds more like those guys. That's well done, Andrew. You're exactly right. He sounds more like those guys than these modern-day Democrats do. So Jason Miller was on this show Monday. Why was he on? Because, once again, you helped me. Thank you. I always give you the credit.
Thank you.
And he told me that Donald Trump will be in court every week for 4 to 6, maybe 8 weeks, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yeah.
He said, you need to come on this Air Force One plane with us. You'll love it. I said, thank you very much. He said, and we've got the plane here. So Wednesdays, Saturdays, Sundays, even weeknights, there'll be times we hop on the plane and go campaign. He said it's not the ideal situation, but those are the 4 weekdays we have to be in court. Otherwise, he's going to be working literally 7 days a week.
Yeah, well, that's exactly why this is lawfare, because A, they want to tie up his time. But B, if you look at this and you look at the fundraising shortfall, exactly, the fundraising shortfall that the left has been talking about time and time again. Well, guess what? Over $75 million of those dollars that Trump has raised has had to go to his legal team for all this. So the Biden administration, they looked at this after the midterms and said, wait a second, Trump is probably going to be the nominee again. How do we do everything we possibly can to hamstring him? What they didn't realize was just how many Americans, how many independent-minded Americans as well look and say, we don't want a guy like we may not like Donald Trump, but we don't want a judicial system that's going to go after innocent people and leading presidential candidates.
Andrew Giuliani, let me emphasize your point. Just last Saturday down in Florida, Donald Trump raised nearly $51 million.
Yep.
You know this. So do I. Those are not his buddies. That wasn't Sid, Andrew, and his girlfriends. Those guys who gave big money had given money prior to people like Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, all of Trump's competitors. But they would much rather see Donald Trump win than the guy in charge right now. I thought that said a lot, that he raised $51 million, and a majority of that money, not guys like us.
Yeah.
Not Trump lovers.
Well, I guess you could say inflation's been pretty big during the Biden administration. Last year, that might have been a $5 million ticket and became a $50 million ticket. So, no, but that's exactly right. I mean, I think that enough Americans look and say, I mean, how crazy can we actually be with this Biden administration? And we could talk about topic after topic after topic. You could talk about going after Israel, which you do so eloquently every single day.
Thank you.
You could talk about the border, the fact that New York has become a southern border state. You could talk about crime and the fact you look at Democratic politicians right now, and you have a guy like Carl Hastie, and I know this is more local, but you have a guy like Carl Hastie that looks and says, wait a second, no, locking up criminals is not going to help crime. That is where the mainstream of the Democratic Party is now. That's not where the radicals are. The radicals have drove them left. And one of the things that I've been watching with Israel, and specifically Michigan and Minnesota, I really think this pro-Arab, pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas group in Michigan and Minnesota, I think they really want to cost Biden the election. And I'll tell you why. They want to own the Democratic Party in perpetuity going forward. And they say, you know what? If he's going to give us the lip service for the next 6 months, then the Democratic Party is not going to learn anything. But if we want to make them anti-Israel in perpetuity, we're going to cost them this election, and they'll know that they can't mess with us. So when you talk about the history, the future of Western civilization being at stake, there's case in point.
I agree with you 100%. I think they want to cost the party the election. Now, I want to go back to local. You made a great point about Hastie. I want to play for you a cut from the mayor, what he said yesterday. You live in New York City still, right?
I do, Battery
you're not,
Park.
You're not the governor of Florida yet.
Not now that I've heard.
Not yet.
No, I don't think so.
You're going to be the one after Ron DeSantis leaves. But you still live in Battery Park, yes?
Yes, all I right. do. I'm all south, but just in the southern tip of Manhattan.
And you all. Take the 4 train sometimes as early as 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I took it here today as a matter of
fact. So you see all of New York.
Yes.
Okay, here's what the mayor had to say yesterday.
New York is the safest big city in America. This is not my opinion. The stats show that. We're the safest big city in America. But when I talk about, and thank you for that. You know, you're so kind. You know, these are the facts. Look at these numbers. What's that first one? All the way on the far left. Look at the numbers and look at where we are. Safest big city in America.
See, this is why I wish this show was simulcast on TV, because all you had to do was see Andrew Giuliani's face to know his answer. But we're not, so you're going to have to wait. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, and Giuliani will tell you what he thinks about Eric Adams' comment that we are, in fact, the safest big city in America. I got a wish to say it. She looks so fine. She's the best girl that I ever had. So that's going to make me feel so bad.
Is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
All right, the very handsome Andrew Giuliani, looking like $1 million, ready to do his podcast this afternoon with Kara Casanova live in studio. And last we left, before that break, I played a cut for you when Mayor Eric Adams said, and I quote, "We are the safest big city in America. That's not my opinion. That's a fact." As a young man living in Battery Park, is he right?
I'm pacing around the studio the last 5 minutes. Said you wouldn't let me comment on it and get it off of my chest over here.
Yeah.
Here I was on
That's
the
called
first,
a radio tease, folks.
Yeah, on the first day of the Masters, I was expecting you to introduce me with some sultry tones of Jim Nantz talking through a light breeze of azaleas from Augusta National, Georgia. Instead, you give me Eric Adams telling me the city is great over here. What are you doing to me, Sid? You're killing me over here. Look, every single day, right? Come in. Check the trains out. Not like Curtis. I mean, I don't live on the trains like Curtis. But you just see how the quality of life is getting worse and worse and worse. Just the other day, I saw a guy who was all drugged up and he almost fell onto the tracks. Thank goodness he fell backwards. But this is every single day that you see this. It's absolutely crazy. A couple weeks ago, there was a guy who was shooting up. We're talking about on Chambers Street here. A guy shooting up while a dad is bringing his three-year-old down the steps to go on the one train down there. This is every single day that you're seeing this devolve worse and worse and worse in New York City. And Sid, I've said this time and time again, but it's why you're starting to see the 30 and 40 year olds with young families starting to say, hey, New York may not be the right place for me because for my kids, I don't feel like it's safe enough. I feel like they're indoctrinated from an educational standpoint. And by the way, add congestion pricing onto it now. So there's just another one on top.
You know, you just nailed the argument that spits right in the face of Hochul and Adams.
Yes.
Because why are people leaving this state in the biggest numbers? Mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah.
Because things are great, Kathy? Because things are great, Eric? Oh, no, it's only your perception. Well, my perception is Boca's sunny and safe. That's my perception.
That's exactly right.
You know, but everybody keeps saying the same thing to, not everybody. Most people I speak to hate Adams. They're done with him. Hate him. Even some folks that used to like him, they hate him. But the ones that have defended him and continue to defend him always say the same thing to me. I think his heart's in the right place. I don't give a rat's ass where his heart is. Eventually, it comes to a time after nearly 3 years where if you don't execute, you're a loser.
Yeah.
We don't care where your heart is. Why do you think, if in fact his heart is in the right place, if it is, why is he such a crappy mayor?
Mm. I don't prove it. I can't prove it, but my suspicion is that he's compromised. My suspicion is he's compromised, and that's ultimately why. And you know what? Maybe part of him, maybe part of his heart actually may be in the right place. I do think when he actually goes to sleep at night, whenever that is after, you know, he goes out to the bars, 3 o'clock, he probably lays back and he thinks, what's my legacy going to be? Am I going to be this mayor that helped to bring New York City back? Or am I going to be just another mayor on kind of the path of de Blasio, Dinkins, and Beam.
That's what he is now.
Which sadly he is. And yeah. I think it's because anytime he actually takes his major initiatives, let's just take crime, because that's the number one thing. That's the number one, two, and three thing. I go back to his very first year in office. He had the maximum leverage at that time to go up to Albany and to sit with Kathy Hochul and to sit with the state Senate and the state assembly and say, hey, bail reform, you're going to reverse this. And if you don't, guess what, Kathy? You got a gubernatorial election here. And I'm going to go and cross party lines and endorse Lee Zeldin or endorse Andrew Giuliani or endorse Rob Astorino. Because if not, then guess what? You're going to take my city and you're going to take it down the tubes. He chose not to do that. He chose to play party politics. And ever since, he's lost more and more and more and more leverage.
You're right.
And he just can't press the right buttons.
He could have also, I mean, that would have been the best way to do it.
Yeah.
He could have endorsed nobody.
That's
but
exactly
he was
right.
So quick to endorse Hochul. Same thing with Biden.
Yeah.
If you're going to call out the national government, the federal government for this illegals crisis, why would you endorse Biden like he did 2 months ago unprovoked? And then the worst of all, is there anybody who shows Mayor Adams less respect than the head of the city council, Adrian Adams, where he's at an event with her about 3 months ago, gives her a hug and a kiss, and calls her his sister from another mother?
I mean,
what are you doing?
Yeah, if you want to look at how little leverage Eric Adams actually has, the fact that the policing bill that passed at the beginning of the year that would ultimately make phase one and phase two stops, cops would have to actually write them down, right? Adams needed to swing 3 votes. He couldn't swing 3 city council votes. Think about that. You can't swing 3 city council votes as the mayor with part of the power of the purse, basically, to say, hey, look, what do you need in your district? Any decent mayor would have been able to look and say, hey, these are the 3 that we need to swing so that way we could protect our cops. That way our city won't just continue to devolve.
Giuliani would have gone 3 for 3 like Anthony Volpe. All right. You mentioned it earlier. You are a big-time golfer. Played golf at Duke. You know the game. You play the game. You and Trump go head-to-head often, maybe again very, very soon. Scottie Scheffler is the favorite.
Yes.
Rory McIlroy right behind him. Tiger's out there. Most people think he won't be playing on Saturday and Sunday, but he's out there giving it a shot. He said, if everything stays okay, I got a shot. What do you see, Andrew Giuliani? Who wins the 2024 Masters?
Tough to go against Scheffler. He's played so well and striking the ball so great. But I'll go with a little bit of a long shot. I think he's in the, like, 25-1 range.
Vijay Singh?
Nah, he's at about 20,000-1, I think, right there. So if you put a dollar on him, maybe a 20,000-1, you're doing pretty good. I like Joaquin Niemann to actually go and win this week. Why? He's won twice on the LIV Tour, which I know is controversial. Won twice on the LIV Tour. He's been playing great. He actually got a special exemption. The only LIV golfer to get a special exemption, wasn't previously exempt, into the Masters. But more than anything, I'm just going to be on replay listening to Jim Nantz talk about Augusta. Of course, in between listening to Sid Rosenberg and Curtis Sliwa here on WABC.
It is an unbelievable event. And, you know, I've become very, very friendly with Jim over the years. And he does Super Bowl every couple of years. He did college basketball, that final game, for many, many years. Just retired a couple of years ago. And but this, the Masters, is as good as it gets.
And one more great note. I know we talked last week about Officer Diller and the fundraiser for him that would ultimately lead to a round with me at Crystal Springs where you get your Masters pool. I'm happy to announce that was sold out by our WABC listeners completely. So it's an amazing job here. And thank you to all those out there that are willing to go and stand up for the Diller family. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for what you do. And listen, since you're a little boy, you saw that in your home with your dad. You know, your dad was going to funerals for cops when you were just a little boy. And you certainly, the apple did not fall far from the tree, because you love and respect the police like your father, like me, and like so many of us. You're great, man. Your podcast is great. You're great with me. I love you. And good luck with Kara today. We'll do this again very, very soon.
Absolutely, Sid. You're the best.
You're the best. Andrew Giuliani, everybody. That's going to wrap it up for us on this Thursday morning. Lou Ruffino, great job as always. Justin Ellick, terrific. Noam Layden, you the man, brother. And Jimmy Glippin, he chimed in today as well. We got a big show coming your way tomorrow. Big, 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 big show. As my driver Gene would say, God willing, we'll all be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow for a Friday morning program. Until then, from all of us on Sid and Friends in the Morning and Andrew Giuliani, to all of you, peace!